camp? Would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matt here to do is a holy thing?
You see, we're on a mission from God.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
You're listening to the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. ShakeandWakeRadio.com. We're on a mission from God.
Monday Night Call with National Liberty Alliance and John Garash. ShakeandWakeRadio.com is on the air, and you can join us at the ShakeandWakeRadio.com website. Take it away, John.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, December 15th, 2014, and time is really flying. I can't believe how fast these weeks are flying by. But tonight, let's just take a reading from the Bible, and then we'll get into things. I'm going to look a little bit at the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew. Read maybe about 12 or 14 verses. And seeing the multitude, he, Jesus, went up into the mountain. And when he saw, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Okay, that was Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. That was the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, what we're going to do, we did do a paper, I think most people know about this, but maybe some don't, for the sheriff. And so we're going to read that that paper. It's going to take about 18 or 19 minutes to read. I think it's good reading. It really is the duty of the sheriff. By what authority do sheriffs act? This paper, I think, is 6 pages long, if I recall. And we need to get this out to our sheriffs. This is our next paper to go out, but it's going just to the sheriffs. We may think about maybe doing an information out of it at some point and putting it on the record. after, well, in a little future. But right now, we need to educate the sheriffs. We need to get these papers out to the sheriff. So I did record this, so I'm just going to play the recording instead of reading directly out of it. So I might as well just play the recording. It will be a YouTube eventually. Matter of fact, I might work on it this week to get that YouTube finished and up. Let's read the paper. The county sheriff, a constitutional officer. The county sheriff is a constitutional officer elected by the people, bound by oath, as guardian of the people's unalienable rights secured by the Constitution, the United States Constitution, and its capstone Bill of Prohibition is the law of the land, and all statutes and state constitutions repugnant to the United States Constitution are null and void. If the sheriff is ignorant to the Constitution, it would stand to reason that he is in violation of his oath, not knowing when judges and politicians violate the law, and thereby technically guilty of treason. United States Constitution, Article 6. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. Marbury v. Madison. All laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Law of the land, due course of law, and due process of law are synonymous. People v. Skinner. Western Union Tel Company v. Call Publishing Company. Common law as distinguished from law created by the enactment of legislatures. The common law comprises the body of those principles and rules of action relating to the government and security of persons and property, which derive their authority solely from usage and customs of immemorial antiquity, or from the judgment and decrees of the courts recognizing, affirming, and enforcing such usage and customs, and in this sense, particularly the ancient unwritten law of England. Harston v. Langston. Sheriff is the chief executive and administrative officer of the county chosen by popular election. His principal duties are in aid of the criminal and civil courts of record, in other words, common law courts, such as serving process, summoning juries, executing judgments, holding judicial sales, and the like. He is also the chief conservator of the peace within his territorial jurisdiction. The sheriff, being the chief law enforcement officer and highest peace officer of the entire county in which he was elected to secure the peace, unlike the state police and municipal police, being code enforcement officers serving the corporation and not the people, in a conflict of interest, having no constitutional authority or concerns, whereas the sheriff reports directly to the people and not the corporation. The duties, responsibilities, and authorities of the county sheriff are at minimum the same as they were when the state constitutions were originally written. The duties, responsibilities, and authorities of the sheriff cannot be diminished by the legislature, courts, and state constitutions. When it comes to enforcing the law, the sheriff, being the chief law enforcement officer, answers to no one, not even the governor. Like any other elected official, the sheriff cannot be removed from office by another elected official. He can only be removed by the people at the ballot box, or by an indictment or presentment by a grand jury. If the sheriff needs to consult a judge or bureaucrat to know when they exceeded their authority, it's no different than consulting with the fox concerning the hen house. Lysander Spooner, in Trial by Jury, 1852, said, "Any government, that is its own judge of and determines authoritatively for the people what are its own powers over the people is an absolute government, of course. It has all the powers that it chooses to exercise. There is no other, or at least no more accurate definition of despotism than this. On the other hand, any people that judge of and determine authoritatively for the government what are their own liberties against the government, of course, retain all the liberties they wish to enjoy. And this is freedom. At least it is freedom to them, because although it may be theoretically imperfect, it nevertheless corresponds to their highest notions of freedom. If the sheriff cannot ascertain if the government is violating the rights of the people without asking the fox, how can he perform his duty? Constitutional officer versus code enforcement officer. The principal challengers to the sheriff are code enforcement officers. Statutes that control the behavior of people are repugnant to the Constitution and are therefore null and void, while the sheriff has a duty to uphold the Constitution. This poses a sharp contrast, seeing he must obey the following United States Supreme Court rulings and Constitution in order to uphold his oath. Scherer versus Cullen. For a crime to exist, there must first be an injured party. There can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of the exercise of a constitutional right. Bonnet versus Valia. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since its unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment. In legal contemplation, it is as inoperative as if it had never been passed. Since an unconstitutional law is void, the general principles follow that it imposes no duties, confers no rights, creates no office, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protection, justifies no acts performed under it. A void act cannot be legally consistent with a valid one. An unconstitutional law cannot operate to supersede any existing law. Indeed, insofar as a statute runs counter to the fundamental law of the land, it is superseded thereby. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. Cruden versus Neal. Every man is independent of all laws, except those prescribed by nature. He is not bound by any institutions formed by his fellow man without his consent. Mugler versus Kansas. Under our system of government, upon the individuality and intelligence of the citizen, the state does not claim to control him, except as his conduct to others, leaving him the sole judge as to all that affects him. Bennett versus Boggs. Statutes that violate the plain and obvious principles of common rights and common reason are null and void. Davis versus Wechsler. The assertion of federal rights, when plainly and reasonably made, is not to be defeated under the name of local practice. Murdoch versus Pennsylvania. A state may not impose a charge for the enjoyment of a right granted by the federal constitution. Hurtado versus California. The state cannot diminish rights of the people. Miller versus U.S. The claim and exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime. Scheer versus Cullen. There can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of his exercise of a constitutional right. Schwer versus the Board of Examiners. The practice of law cannot be licensed by any state. Zims versus Ed Hearns. The practice of law is an occupation of common right. Brotherhood versus Virginia. Litigants can be assisted by unlicensed laymen during judicial proceedings. City of Chicago versus Collins. Those things which are considered as unalienable rights, which all citizens possess, cannot be licensed, since those acts are not held to be privileges. Thompson versus Smith. The right of the citizen to travel upon the public highways and to transport his property thereon, either by carriage or by automobile, is not a mere privilege which a city may forbid or permit at will, but a common right which he has under the right of to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Gormillan versus Lightfoot. Constitutional rights would be of little value if they could be indirectly denied. Simmons versus U.S. We find it intolerable that one constitutional right should have to be surrendered in order to assert another. Miranda versus Arizona. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. Shuttlesworth versus Bingham. If the state converts a liberty into a privilege, the citizen can engage in that right with impunity. Yick Woe versus Hopkins. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all governments exists and acts. And the law is the definition and limitation of power. For the very idea that man may be compelled to hold his life or the means of living or any material right essential to the enjoyment of life at the mere will of another seems to be intolerable in any country where freedom prevails, as being the essence of slavery itself. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting or establishing of religion or forbidding the free exercise thereof. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of the press. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law forbidding the right of the people peacefully assemble. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law forbidding the free exercise to petition the government for redress of grievances. Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, shall not be infringed. Second Amendment. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Fourth Amendment. No warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or thing to be seized. Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury. Fifth Amendment. No person shall be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. Fifth Amendment. No person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. Fifth Amendment. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. State of emergency.
It is the sheriff's job to maintain order and peace in their county in a state of emergency, not the federal government and certainly not the armed forces. Nor does the federal government have the authority to call martial law. Martial law has only been applied in occupied countries in order to subvert the will of the people. The sheriff has the authority to call the militia, we the people, to assist him in extraordinarily circumstances called posse comitatus. The county belongs to the people, and in an emergency, we the people need to come together under the sheriff to secure our county, not hand it over to foreign powers. Posse comitatus. The power of the force of the county, the entire population of a county above the age of 15, which a sheriff may summons to his assistance in certain cases, as to aid him in keeping the peace, in pursuing and arresting felons. Bill of Rights, Amendment 2, states, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state shall not be infringed. Therefore, the sheriffs, being the chief executive, administrative, chief law enforcement officer, and highest peace officer of the entire county in which he was elected, has the absolute authority to arrest even the governor or a judge and then call the grand jury directly for an indictment. He need not get permission from the district attorney. America runs on fiction of law. Ryan versus Motor Credit Company. Something known to be false is assumed to be true. Fiction of law. Hoke versus Henderson. That statute, which would deprive a citizen of the right of the person or property without a regular trial according to the course and usage of common law, would not be the law of the land. Our elected servants are out of control. America operates on fiction of law, and it is the duty of the sheriff working with the people, if necessary, to protect the unalienable rights of the people by simply enforcing the aforesaid laws. Only the people can save America, and it is the sheriff's duty to lawfully protect and serve the people, educate and inform the whole mass of the peoples. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. Thomas Jefferson. I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional powers. Thomas Jefferson. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. Thomas Jefferson. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson. Power of the grand jury. In a stunning 6-3 decision, Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, confirmed that the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branches of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. United States versus Williams. The sheriff is the people's last line of defense. If the American sheriff were to wake up to their aforesaid duties and work with the awakened people across America to enforce the law with arrests and indictments, we could save America from the tyrants that are destroying our American way of life. We the people are ready. Are you? Go to nationallibertyalliance.org for a free civics course, and let's return America to her roots. We the people.
Okay, that was a paper we wrote for the sheriff, entitled The County Sheriff, By What Authority? And so that's the paper we're planning to be sending out, this week. And some people may have already started that. Matter of fact, I think there are some states that have already started that. I'm probably going to do an email to every sheriff in the United States. So I do have all the emails. And get it out by email. But we need to get it to them on hard copy. Okay, let's go on to a couple of things that have taken place. And I wrote an email recently. I think it was early this morning I sent it out. And it was entitled, if I can find it, National Liberty Alliance Members. Okay, I think it was entitled National Liberty Alliance Agenda. And I'd like to just briefly read this and talk about this because I think this should be the conversation for the evening. This is what I wrote. There are forces determined to redirect the NLA agenda and thereby impede our objective. People joined NLA because they recognized the only known peaceful solution to save our republic. People did not join NLA to have meetings and receive emails on other issues. Therefore, all state meetings and emails are to be focused on NLA issues. If two or more people want to discuss other issues, they should do so separate from NLA's membership meetings and email lists. NLA meetings are not for discussing court cases, fiction, commercial liens, aliens, religious views, cosmic events, or any other subject matter. A few states have turned their state meetings into a private club or cliques, and some leaders have been selective on who they notified about a meeting. This is not honorable and certainly not the purpose of NLA. NLA is about building principles and educating people in order to free them from the clutches of tyrants and thereby save our republic. Time to do that is short, and we must not become distracted by personalities leading us astray. We are very close to making a difference and securing the destiny of justice. We must stay focused and remember the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. Therefore, we have a duty to act because we see the problem, we see the solution, and victory belongs to God. And then I wrote at the end of this, if anybody have any questions, would like to become more involved in saving America, join our telephone conference call every Monday night, so on and so forth. Okay. Now, we've talked about this before, the NLA agenda. It's been a problem here and there, and we're growing in membership, and we're getting leaders, and some leaders that are coming in have taken control as leaders for whatever purposes. Maybe people chose them, or they just stepped up and took the hammer, so to speak, in order to, organize and work. But some people, they have a different agenda. They think maybe they could do it differently than what NLA is doing. We did a lot of research, and again, we spoke about this before, but I'm going to repeat myself. We did a lot of research in order to come up with the direction of NLA, and we haven't stopped our research. That continues. It's an ongoing thing. From time to time, we stood corrected and made some changes, but generally speaking, we've been on point and focused. We have a goal. We have some place we intend to get to, and that is to get the people into power. I've often said this, and I say it again, at some point NLA will decrease and the people will increase. But right now, NLA has got to take the point in order to get us to where we need to go. We have not been educated in the process and procedures of law. We have not been educated in our heritage and common law. We have not been educated in our founding fathers, in the true history of America. We have been lied to and we're all under, you know, strange ideas. And each generation has been moved deeper and deeper into a more of a horror story, leading America really to total destruction. And I think we're very close to that, unless we can get something done. God intervenes and we get something done here. So we have a serious job to do, and we have a focus, and we have to get the job done. We have to be unified. When we put National Liberty Alliance together, we didn't at first think about it doing a unified state grand jury. That really didn't come to mind at first. We were just working county to county, trying to get everybody, you know, each county organized here in New York and trying to get things going. And but fighting in the courts for about 4 or 5 years prior to starting this project, and learning a lot about the enemy and how they think, and eventually coming to conclusions and understanding that all judges are guilty, they all do know. It took a while for that to sink into my mind. It's just, I just found it so difficult to comprehend, but I've come to terms with that. I know it's true now. And so in the process of fighting in the courts, we realized that New York State courts have become unified. And they use the word unified court system, New York court system. They've unified along with the state courts, which is the courts that sit in the county. Each county has its own state court. It's the New York State Supreme Court, county of Dutchess, Orange, Ulster, whatever county you're in. But each county has one. But they've not only unified the 62 counties here in New York courts, they've also unified also with that the New York City courts, all town courts, village courts, across the entire state of New York. And in their unification, by unifying it, they come at us with one accord. And of course, all of the courts under the state court automatically are courts that are what's called nisi prius courts. They act under statutes. They come out with deception. They make you think that they're a real court and they have power and authority, and you agree, and therefore you've given them authority, and now they can do whatever they want. And that's kind of their claim. And that's what's happened to people. People go to jail for a lot of things, or they pay a lot of fines for a lot of things because we've given them consent. But they've also boxed it in and made it very difficult for us to deny it. And they've created all kinds of tricks to prevent us from denying that consent. And so that, you know, in itself, of course, is all fraud. They may think, well, they've tricked us into going along with them, you know, giving them consent. They did that by force. They did that by deceit. And they think, well, they're safe. Well, they're not. And we let them know that they're not. They're not safe because it's a fraud. A fraud is a fraud is a fraud is a fraud. It can never become legal. I don't care what they do. It can't become legal. The same thing on the upper courts. When you get into the federal courts, when they turned the court system and they created the District of Columbia and they played that fiction game and they turned all the federal courts into the same type of things, making them nisi prius courts under the guise of equity, when they should be law, but even equity should be under law. It should be under the Constitution. After all, judges only operate in equity courts. Judges do not operate in courts of law. Judges that wear two caps, one when they're acting in an equity court as a judge, and another one when they're acting as a magistrate in a court of law. There are many magistrates. They're only supposed to be that appear to be judges. They sit in equity courts as judges, and people don't know the difference often. But they're only to be doing business in the courts of law. And a court of law has jurists. There were 12. It's the tribunal. There are 12 people to make the decision on what the guilt or innocence of the individual or who's writing the contract. That's what a court of law is. an equity court is a court that's supposed to, you have one judge, one jurist. He's a professional jurist. He's an elected jurist. And we've entrusted him to be that elected, trusted jurist. And as long as he's in good behavior, he can remain as that elected, trusted jurist. But the moment he is in misbehavior, dishonor, he could be removed. And in order for him to be misbehaving or in bad behavior or dishonorable would be if he violated the rights, unalienable rights of the people. If he fixed the case. And if we were running under common law, that would be under control. Nevertheless, when you go into Article 6, it says all judges must obey. That means all equity court judges must obey. That's the only place you find equity, and that's the only place you find judges. You don't find them in courts of law. But they have taken the equity courts, they've changed them into chancery courts, and the judges become the king and the decider of the case, and they're totally corrupt, and the whole system has become corrupt, and that's what we're up against. And so our plan is to come in and bring the people back into the courtroom, into the courthouse, and be the authority, deciders on wrongdoing, you know, whether someone should be indicted or not, and also to have the decision making on individuals that are in office that are misbehaving, that we need to get rid of them, so we do a presentment on them. And we remove them from office. There's only two ways a politician, an elected individual, whether it be a judge or any other politician, can be taken out of office. One is from the ballot box, and the other one is by the grand jury. That's it. There is no other way. That may not be true with certain situations. I know the Constitution has written up certain things for Congress, and they're to judge themselves and so on and so forth. But let me tell you something. If they're judging themselves and they're not being honest, guess who gets to decide what's going to go on and how many other people are going to get fired? That's the grand jury. They're going to take control of that. So anyway, in order to defeat these people, because they were really hugely organized here in New York particularly, we realized that we should unify. So we started the Unified New York State Common Law Grand Jury. Not long after that, many states started to come in, wanted to come into New York Liberty Alliance, and so we changed our name to National Liberty Alliance, and we accommodated them. Then we realized that when we were fighting this case, we have to become unified across the nation. We'll never have a chance in the federal courts if we don't. So we started unifying the states, and then started unifying the states within the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. These are extraordinary situations and things. It's not the norm, but it is something that is acceptable because we need to take our country back. We need to take our nation back. And some people turn to the quote-unquote international juries or grand juries. I don't trust them at all. I'm sticking with what I'm doing, and we're going to go to stand on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So there is these international groups. There are some other groups that have created national grand juries, but they didn't do it the way we did. We went to every state, and we're still going throughout the state into every county and getting more and more acceptance to what we're doing, because the people have to become unified in order to beat these people. What people have got to realize, and I don't think they do, again, we get personalities that come in and they kind of take control of different meetings, and sometimes it works out well, but sometimes it doesn't, because sometimes we'll get a personality who knows more than we do, and maybe they do, okay? But they have to change the plan because, after all, you know, we got it wrong, and they actually start making these moves within states to change the plan. I'm thankful to say at this point this is not a widespread problem. But it is a problem. And so we have people who are trying to take us to different directions. They don't understand or really realize the plan that we have. You know, there are some things that we haven't even expressed or expounded on. We haven't articulated yet because we can't. It's foolish to articulate certain things that we know we're heading to do. But we do expound on them as quick as possible, and we do reveal whatever part of the plan we can. And the basic part of the plan has always been revealed. It's always about uniting and coming together and revealing their sins on the record where it can't be removed. You know, the elite, they don't care what you know and don't know because they're that powerful, and you can't get to them. But the people in between that they control in order to control the nations, particularly the courts, the judges, okay, they're not the elite. They're puppets of the elite. And they're there because they've been bribed. They're there because they've been threatened. Maybe they got a gun to their head. Or maybe they're there because they're just greedy, okay? And after all, the bar gets to decide who these people are. They do good psychological reviews on every one of these individuals from day one in law school, right on through, and as you follow through into whatever law firm you go to work for, and they get this psychological evaluation of you, and now you want to become a judge, and you say, hey, I'd like to become a judge. Well, you have to be the right kind of criminal in order to become a judge. You got to be the right kind of person, and you got to get the approval of the bar. And this is what we're up against. This is where we're fighting. These people, I have come to discover, are criminals. I'm sure there are some honest people, you know. Judge Napolitano seems like a really good guy, honest, really trying to get the truth out. So that tells us there's been some people. But I don't know that they're getting in anymore. I think they've tightened it up pretty good. And there may be still some good people in there, but we haven't found them yet. We're still looking. But maybe they'll surface soon. So anyway, we have a plan, and some people who think they know more than what we know, they want to go a different direction, and they want to do different things, and they maybe lack patience. They want to get cases going right away because they want to do certain things, whatever it is they want to do. Well, we can't lose sight of the goal. The only cases that we at National Liberty Alliance go forward on are cases that are going to assist us that become a poster child case for National Liberty Alliance, for the common law grand juries. That's why the cases that we have taken on, if you'll notice, every single one of them deal with the jury. And they deal with the jury with cases that have a reasonably good high profile. The highest profile one we found so far, of course, with the grand jury, it was in the New York case with that guy, Eric Garner. And, it's helpful for him. We'd like to help a lot of people, but we can't until we get into power and authority. But we're there because this not only will help his family, it's too late to help him, but it'll help his family. But it's also there to catapult us just a little closer into the game, into where we're looking to go. And people, if they want to do something different, they're more than welcome to do it. But don't come into National Liberty Alliance and take the controls of the state that's unified with the other 49 and think you're going to guide it in a different direction. That's dishonorable. It's not right. And there's a lot of obviously there's a lot of problems with that. So people that are doing this, they need to stop and redirect themselves and reposition themselves. We're going to weed out those people because they're destroying what we are building. They are destroying it. Either you agree with the National Liberty Alliance agenda and focus and plan, or you create your own, or you join another group. We have worked real hard with this thing. We believe we were right on mark. We believe that we understand the common law well enough, the jurisdiction, the process, the procedure. We understand their judges. We understand their criminality. We understand their fiction. We know how they did it. We see the laws that they claim are laws that they use to do what they do. But we also see the fiction, and we see the solution. And as our front page has always said, only the people can save America. And if the people are not united, the people are not going to save America. If you have 50 states going 50 different directions, we lost, they win, game over. another problem or thing that people don't see, and I listen to in on some meetings from time to time. I get invited, or I get into a meeting, someone sends me access into someone's meeting that they had. They want me to listen to it, and I listen to it. And one of the things I think that the people in there that have taken some authority in certain states, I think they're getting lost in the idea or the direction of going out at things from the unified state common law position. This was an extraordinary act that we the people took through National Liberty Alliance in order to gain power and be able to fight these SOBs, is to develop the unified system. But that's not natural. It's not right. It's not normal. But it is logical, and it is righteous, and it is a way to win, and we're going to do it, and we're going to win. But once we achieve the goal, once we get 30 days into the courts, and we've brought America back on track, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take 30 days to bring America back on track. Some people want to go chase Agenda 21, Common Core, or many, many other issues now. Forget about it. You're wasting your time. You're getting distracted. It's causing a problem. You could do it if you want. Just leave National Liberty Alliance. Don't come bring our membership down that road. That's not where we're going. We get in, I promise you, we get in within 30 days, there'll be no Common Core. There'll be no Agenda 21. That'll all go away normally because that's destructive to the American way. That's destructive to our law. That's destructive to liberty. It's destructive to righteousness. It's destructive to the morality of our children and ourselves. It's just destructive. It's a no-brainer. We will accomplish that overnight. Why are we going to waste our energy and time with an uphill battle that you can't even win? It's a distraction. And we can't afford to be distracted. We have to stay focused. We have to stay on point. And we have to achieve our goal. But anyway, people have gotten lost to thinking that, you get 15, 20 people together and they're focusing in and acting as a unified common law state grand jury. That's not what we are. We are the people. We are coordinators and organizers. We're the people. And we are the grand jury when we come together to make a decision, but that's not our norm. And if we do speak to people outside on behalf of the grand jury, but outside of the normal process, then we talk to them from the perspective of being an administrator. And there's a purpose and a reason for all these titles, for all these names. They define something. They define the person and the job and what it is that we're doing. It is true. People see coordinators and organizers as leaders, and so they are. And we need those leaders. People must lead, and others must follow until they can lead. We have to learn. We have to become educated, and that is the key, the education. People in general are not educated to do what we're doing. So we're trying to educate them. That is the purpose of NLA. We're trying to educate them as we're going into the courts and we're going to deal with all of these judges and all of these federal courts and eventually the state courts and even the town and the city courts. And we're going to deal with all of them. But people need to learn how to deal with them. They need to learn the mindset and understand it's fiction. Fiction is fiction. It's a fraud. And we're not going to play their game. A lot of people know how many times people have assaulted our position because they say we have no standing. Well, I've often said it a million times, and they don't understand it. If you're fighting standing, you're in the wrong court. Why am I going to go into their court to fight standing? I'll never get it. They'll never give it to me. After all, I'm consenting. I'm going in there to argue standing. So you're not going to win it. You're not going to get it. So we have to go in there with the truth and the bottom line. It's a fraud. We don't give in to the fraud. We're not going to acknowledge the fraud. When you fight in their courts, under their system, under their conditions, for standing, you're acknowledging their courts. We go in, we lay out the fraud, and we steamroll them from the beginning, and we don't stop. We've been doing it since we started in New York. We've been steamrolling through. Some people may say, "Oh, you failed. You haven't done this. You haven't done that yet. You haven't gotten in. You didn't get the power. You didn't get into the courts." Well, they don't understand. We always knew this was going to be an uphill battle. We always knew we had to go through a process. We always knew we had to stay and step on principles and maintain the principles, not go after that which is expedient, but that which is principled. And so many people tried to push us to go quicker here or to do that. In order to do it, we got to give up principles. No, we have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on first. You can't go from A to D to X to Z. You can't do it. It's wrong. It's not principled, and you haven't set the stage, you haven't educated, you haven't done anything. We're going now through an education process. We're trying not only to educate ourselves, but to educate the sheriffs, to educate the marshals, to educate the military, the chief joints of staff, to educate even Congress and our own Congresses in our own states. That's what we're doing now. That's where we can't skip that part. It is critical and crucial to the end result. You can't go to the end without going through this, because no one's going to be behind us. We have to have the people behind us. We have to have the people in office behind us. There are a lot of people, I'm sure, that, they're caught up in the game, they're guilty of sin, but they'd love to get out maybe. They know where they're taking America, some of these people. And I've heard some good things recently, but tough things on other people that they said some things that are very dangerous for them to say, considering the positions they were in. Well, there's one person in particular, and yet he revealed the truth, plain as day. Matter of fact, we're going to put that video. It's a video. I'm going to put that video up on our page. I'll think on where, but we'll put that video up there. But anyway. People who are forming and planning and doing and creating and building some kind of a group within their state to be a unified state grand jury, forget about it. We're going to dismantle it. It's only a stepping stone. It's an extraordinary thing we did because we're living in extraordinary times. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. We did that which was righteous and just to do, and we used the same kind of ideas that they used, and we used it against them. There's not going to be no United States common law grand jury once we're in power, once we're in authority. It doesn't even make sense to have. It's so unnatural to begin with. The only reason it's there is to unify us. That's the only reason. There is no other reason. Once we're unified, once we're in power, and once we're in authority, you're going to be dealing with it on the grassroots level in your county. You'll come to NLA for advice and ideas and how to write a certain paper or whatever the case may be to continue in learning. And eventually you'll have your own wings and you're off on your own. But people, for some reason, we'll get people, they want to be free right now. They got freedom of speech. You don't have freedom of speech with NLA. We're not the government. We have a plan, and we have a goal, and if you agree with it, let's do it. If you don't agree with it, then go someplace else. It's that simple. We're not asking anyone to leave. We're asking everyone to conform to the plan. I've heard of a lot of people. I've heard of different things in different meetings where people say, John Durash, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's failed. He doesn't understand this. We're going to do this. And we're going to do that. We're going to do the other thing instead. And the people are going along with some of these things. And, if I'm so wrong, why don't you bring it to Monday night's meeting? Put it out right here where everyone can hear. Then you can get the argument, get it over with, and we can lay it out and discover where the truth is. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe you do have an idea better than that we can insert into our program. That won't be the first time that we changed our thinking. And I'm sure the last time won't be the last time. But it's not honorable to go into the states and talk against the principal motive, the ideas, and the NLA plan. It's not right. It's not honorable. And we're asking people to stop it. We took away access of the emails to all state coordinators a couple of weeks back. They have access to the names general location of individuals and their phone numbers, but they don't have email access no more. We went to our techs, we asked them to remove that column. Because people have been taking NLA emails, inserting them into own private email lists, and soliciting them. Soliciting them in the name of NLA to go do things that are not NLA programs. We're asking you right now to be honorable and to go to your email list. Every state coordinator who has ever downloaded any email addresses from our website, we're asking you to go into your private email programs and delete them all. If you want to speak to your state people, you speak to everybody. And that's another problem we have. Some people have been selective. They've taken people off their list, so they don't even get invited to the meeting. This is not how honorable people act. This is not the NLA program. It's a bad reflection on us. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to stand on principles. If we're not going to get there on principles, what the hell are we going to end up being when we get there? We're going to end up being them. We have to get back on track. I want you to destroy those emails. All state coordinators have access to the email right off the platform on NLA. They can go right in there, they can write up an email and send a message, and every member gets it. They don't need to have the email lists. And I'm telling you from this point forward, any leader in NLA, I will call them leaders, any coordinator in NLA, anybody leading the programs and the calls on any of their state calls, if you're going to be bringing in other agendas and we find out about it, we're not even going to discuss it anymore. We're just going to remove those people and ask the state to find new leaders. I don't care how many people. We could lose the whole state because I'd rather stand on principle than to go forward with that which people might think is expedient and compromise our principles. If we compromise our principles, we lose, they win, end of game. We might as well pack up and go home now if we're going to just compromise our principles, because we're only wasting our time and making ourselves targets. That's all we're doing. I have no intention of being a target. I have intentions of being victorious. That's my intention. And if it's not yours, then you got to reconsider what you're even doing here for. Because we're going to win. Because light always overtakes darkness. But you can't be darkness, make them believe you're light to try to take over darkness. We can't do that. So, NLA has an agenda, and we expect everyone to stay with it and work together to accomplish the goal. Remember, it's going to end up with four people in every county as the administrators. And you better be people that have integrity. You better be people who are honorable. Because then, if not, we're going to lose what we're getting. And we'll be certainly cursed for it, that's for sure. And as for me, I don't intend to be cursed. So, all right, I guess that ends my speech or whatever you want to call that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do something a little different. I want to try to get to the people who have been calling that haven't been able to talk. Okay? So I want to kind of push everybody, people who've talked on the mic for the past couple of weeks, don't get into the queue right away. Let's get the people who have been trying to get into the queue and haven't been able to do it, and let's get them to voice some opinion here. But before we go into that, I want to really focus in on the subject matter that I just spoke about. If anybody has any thoughts or ideas, I'd like to hear what you think, okay? We have to do what we have to do, and if people think that we're doing something wrong, this is the place and the time to bring it up, because this is where we will fix the problems and repair the mistakes if we have any. So let's do that first. Anybody who thinks that NLA is doing things wrong and they'd like to point that out to us, let's put those people into the queue first. Nobody else get into the queue right now. Let's go through those people first, and then we're going to go through the people who haven't been able to get in, and then it'll be a free-for-all, okay? So let's do that. First, the people who have, I'm going to go into Q&A. And first, the people who have a difference with NLA and think we need to change something. Let's get it out in the open. Terry from Michigan. How you doing, Terry? You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Terry.
Yeah, I was just wondering why we have to keep reminding the sheriffs of their oath of office when they already took it.
Because they don't know what an oath of office is. They don't know what the Constitution is. They don't know what they're supposed to be holding up. And it's unfortunate that all of American society is like that. None of us really know. Only those of us who are starting to wake up and starting to really get educated are knowing. And the sheriffs are no different. They go to the same schools we went to. They were brought up in the same neighborhoods we were brought up in. And then they became sheriffs, and they know nothing about our founding fathers. They don't know about common law. They don't know about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta. They don't know American history. They don't know anything. And you know, look at, I mentioned this last week, too, a week or so before, earlier, someone told me about a sheriff who said to them that they really don't know what the Constitution is. They're not sure. They don't know. They don't know the law. And that tells us everything. So what's the solution? The solution, Thomas Jefferson gave us the solution. If they're ignorant, teach them. So we were ignorant. We got taught. You know, we were part of the problem, too, before we started to get rid of our ignorance. So let's help them to get rid of their ignorance. Let's educate them. And let's give them the opportunity to understand what their job really is. That's why the paper we read today, which is posted up on our line here. But in fact, I think it's posted on the right side of our page, every page. Duty of the Sheriff, by what authority? So it's posted up there, and you can read the paper we read today. And that's what we have to do. We have to educate the sheriff. If anybody else has any ideas to add to that paper, by all means, email me short things. I don't read long emails. I just don't have the time. But if you have some laws or ideas that I missed, you can give it to us, and as long as we're not being too redundant with it, we'll add it in. And if you got five or six ideas, send me one email one day and another email another day. And this way I will be able to read through them and incorporate them into that. But anyway, that's why we have to educate them.
Okay, thank you, John.
Okay, Terry. By the way, I just was looking at the website before I take the next caller. We got together on a state coordinator's last week on a fundraising idea. And so we do have something going on with fundraising. And people who are interested in assisting us and helping us, it's a very interesting plan that we put together. A lot of organizations, schools, Boy Scouts, different groups have done this kind of thing. So anybody interesting, hoping everybody's interested in helping us with this fundraiser, get a hold of your state coordinator, ask them what it's about. You can click on fundraiser, and you'll see it pretty much lays out the plan right there. But get a hold of your state coordinator to be part of that and to help NLA grow. So. Okay, let's go back to our next caller. Let's see, NEUDY from Massachusetts. How do you pronounce that, Nudy?
Yeah, that's pronounced fine.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, John. How about yourself?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the meeting that we had last week about having a New England meeting. For all the state coordinators, anybody else that wants to join the meeting from the all the states that representing New England, if we're going to have that meeting, do you recommend we have that once a month, a New England meeting, or once a week?
I think once a week, come together for 15 minutes or a half hour, whatever it takes to go through some basic discussions and plans of what you're doing, what projects we're working on, and what's going on the, which you'll get that a lot of information from the Monday night meetings, and just get things going. At some point when the states become more and more populated as far as membership goes, it may be more advantageous for them to start doing meetings on their own. But right now, Connecticut's pretty populated, but I asked Connecticut to stay in the New England group in order to assist because they've got a little experience. They've got a lot of members, and they've been having meetings. So So we have, what is it, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut working together as one. They should do it weekly. And when it starts to get too big, they should break up. But I think it's good to work together.
Okay. Let's see. I had another question. I completely forgot about it. Oh, yeah, I remember. The fundraiser, are you going to send us an email or a document with the information and all the details about the fundraiser? So when
well,
we have to inform...
The fundraiser, I'm trying to think what they call it. Gerard, are you here? Maybe you can help me with the language on this. It's sort of like a raffle tickets, okay? And and it's we're asking for a $20 donation and 58 opportunities to win something. And so, you know, it looks like something that's interesting that people might be interested in doing anyway. But generally speaking, it's a fundraiser, of course, to get money in order for NLA to go do the things that they haven't been able to do. And we may do this a couple of times, you know, for a couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll start picking up more on the donations that people have been given, $5, you know, a piece. If we can pick up more people doing that, then eventually we wouldn't even have to do the fundraising. But it's an interesting thing because it's like a football game or something or bingo or something. But the state coordinators can, when you go to your state meetings, you should talk about it, and they can get more details of it. And you can get a copy, which we did give a copy to someone who had no clue what we were doing to see if what they thought the way it was written up, if they understood it. And they said, oh, yeah, I understand it clearly. It's a good idea. So go read it for yourself and see once if you think it's a good idea. Hopefully people will participate. Now, we're only given 20 raffle tickets to each state coordinator. That's it. So it's not going to be anything really huge. So if people do want to get involved with it, you need to get there quick, because hopefully they're going to move that quick. So,
okay. Yeah, that's all the questions I have. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Mr. Jason, how you doing?
Hi, John. Jason.
Yep.
I just want to thank you very much for giving the your call in for us and your concerns and us to rally around the agenda. We get lost in doing everything. Is it possible to send something out and just like something short and sweet on the agenda for everyone, so we're all on the same page and we're unifying our purposes?
Mm-hmm.
Could that be all right?
Well, yeah, I'll try to put something called the agenda and make it short and sweet and put it on maybe on the front page the word agenda and people click on it and see. It is pretty simple. Our agenda is simple, but we'll do that.
All right. Also, being at the Sheriff's Anti-Amnesty Rally was fantastic, and that is the strength that we need. The sheriffs are meeting in January, and if we can be there, do something, or send something out to that. They're meeting in D.C. next month.
In a room by themselves as a nation?
Well, they're having a convention. So
okay.
You're gonna have a minimum of maybe over 3,000 people if everyone attends. So
yeah, that's if they all attend. Yeah.
Right. So to get 25%, there's still a lot of people.
All right. Well, let me move
anyway,
on because we want to focus in now people have concerns and problems.
Right. Well, with that concern, I want to see the media corps needs to show productivity and have its ability to write and be free to produce. Right now, I don't see anything coming out of that. It's got a lot of good ideas. I mean, the ideas coming out of that committee, that core is fantastic, but I want to see the fruits of the labor put in. It's over a month that we started that, and we haven't seen any fruit come out of it, except for myself.
You're talking
myself.
About the media campaign group?
Right.
Yeah, well, there's some good things that have been coming up, and I spoke with Sheila about some things that they're hammering out and putting together. It did take some time to put things together, but remember, you know, even though we created this group over a month ago, really we didn't get the page up until only about 2 weeks ago at most. And you know, you have to organize and talk and get some ideas out, and there are things that are going to be coming to us now for approval. And what is the approval for? The approval is to make sure that our message to the media or out to people is on point and accurate. We don't want people to get confused. The messages where our media campaign says one thing and we're teaching something different. So work, if you think you can get it going quicker, talk with Sheila and ask her, what can I do to help make it quicker, you know?
Well, the best way to get it done is everyone needs to communicate with each other with the emails, and that's how we're going to do it, because if it goes through our channel, you're not going to get it. But
well, we have the bulletin board now. We have the bulletin board is active and moving, and I'm not sure, you know, on the bulletin board we just set up, I'm going to make a note right now, I didn't see a place where you can click a button and follow the conversation and you get an email on the conversation. I don't know whether this plug-in that they set up has that opportunity, but it should, and I'm going to find out, and I'm going to ask them to put that in there if it's there. But go ahead.
All right. So, I mean, I put the app for the emails a long time ago, over a month ago. Now, the issue being down in Washington, D.C., was that what President Obama has done has actually ripped out the
immigration. Can you wait? Can you come back on to talk about this? Because I want to get through the people first.
The thing is, there's a thought. Treason. We don't need, if we can do that, we're looking for an attack on the beast. That's, we're a group of unified states. We're here. We need to address that. And I really think
that. To address what?
Doing the treason charges on Obama.
Haven't you read the Quo Warranto?
Yes.
Well, there's no way you look at. We cannot even think about going after some of the people you're thinking about going after.
Well, again, why can't we go? The whole thing is we're getting first.
Okay, look at. Why don't we talk? Because we're going to get into a conversation, but let's. We have people that have some concerns or that maybe we're doing things wrong. We'd like to talk about that. But I hear what you're saying. If you read our papers, we use the word treason. We use the word tyrants. But we always giving them a carrot. We're giving them a carrot. That's at some point the carrot stops, okay? But this is part of the process, giving them the carrot. There are big things coming down the pike that we just can't talk about, and I don't think we should talk about it anymore. That's kind of blunt, but just think about what I'm saying, okay?
All right. And also, we need to marriage our sheriffs and marshals together to have effective results.
All part of the plan. We haven't taken a narrow-minded view of what we're doing. Not at all. We have taken a very broad view on what we're doing. Extremely broad. Broader than anyone else. Before us, and doing things that no one else before us has done, and it's all the just thing. So, give it some time. You know, right now we need to focus in on education. That's where we have to be. We have to educate the sheriffs. We have to educate the marshals. We have to educate the military. We have to educate even Congress on both state and federal levels. So we have to do that. And that's not going to take a lot of time. It's a matter of a few papers going out. It could be done as quick as we the people can get out the mailings. We have a lot of stuff written already that's ready to go, but we can't get it out until we do number one first, number two, number three. Every state's got to get it out, get the project done, and move to the next project. As long as it takes for the states to move on these things is as long as it's going to take to get to the point where we really want to be. There is a point we really want to be, and when we get there, you'll know we got there. Okay? Well, you're going to know it's a different world today.
I just wanted to tell you that I used the sheriff's six-page letter down in Washington.
Great. Yeah, I think you mentioned that. Yeah, I did make a change in that, but I think it was only a couple of phrases. But it's there was a good letter, I think, as it was, and I just made a change in a phrase or two. But still the same one.
I'm working on the sheriff's the PR piece for the sheriff's meeting. Peace with you. And the thing is, John, you can always give Gerard an opportunity to take the lead when you do something too. When he can speak for you at the meetings, that would be fine because it's a whole different frequency.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you very much. God bless you, son.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Edward from Oregon, how you doing?
Hello, John?
Yes, Ed, how you doing?
Oh, doing good, doing good. I'd like to get a copy of your sheriff's letter so that way I can send it out to all of them in Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, you can do that as soon as possible.
I can't get it. I need a sent copy to me.
Oh,
the other point
email?
I want to bring up.
My email?
I need one printed or sent copy to me, emailed.
Okay, what state are you in?
Oregon.
That's right, Oregon. Well, someone in Oregon, I'm sure they're online. Maybe you can talk with someone in Oregon. Have you connected with people in Oregon?
Some have, but I'm in Oregon Territory. I do not go by the state of Oregon. I am not a registered agent. The other
right.
point
no,
is
but,
I
mean,
sent
have
you some
been,
of my stuff on the Admiralty,
have you
and like the
connected?
One gentleman was saying what he can do, file your rights on your Admiralty and your birth certificate, claim them. The only one that has lawful authority to claim them is people that have a blood relation to 1850. If you're in this country after 1903, you have no lawful constitutional authorities.
Okay, well, we don't play in the fiction. We ignore the fiction and we convict the fiction. We put it up for the fraud that it is and expose it in the courts by filing papers in every court. So that's what we're doing.
It's not part of the fiction. I have done it on the Oregon State Senate House and hearing floors. Brought it in.
Okay.
Nobody's disputed it. It is not a fiction. We have these rights. All right? And
well,
I've got
no,
the
no,
Senate
the
hearing case
is,
on this. I've been doing it
the
for
whole, the whole
years.
Thing is built on fiction, though. Okay, you're talking about probably the SESCU funds.
It is built on fiction, but these are the rules and regulations which you're talking about under God, because God gave us the Constitution to separate us from the rest of the world.
Okay,
nobody else in the world has constitutional rights and privileges.
Well,
all right, and I'm not saying privileges as
Ed,
the Vatican.
Ed,
I'm talking privileges as we have when you have a child. You're the owner of that child until it's 18. So you're responsible and liable for that child.
Of course, we all agree on that one. Listen,
I'm not arguing over anything. I'm just saying the facts, just like you're saying the facts. But I would like to get a letter sent in the Admiralty and the court structure with the Vatican.
Let me get in here to the problems. The problem is they're using Admiralty law on land.
Correct, and this is what I filed in the Supreme Court on them. I'm getting ready to file in the Supreme Court, finishing it, but I filed with the Treasury, everybody else.
You're going into their fiction. You're coming under their authority.
I'm claiming my authority over them. They are my servants.
Do you think that they believe that they're your servants? Do you think?
Some of them are. To tell you the truth, some of them are. And I got senators that are waking up in Oregon that are believing it now.
Okay, Ed, let me get a few words out.
Okay, go ahead.
Who do you think these people are? Do you think that when you go into the courts, you have magic words and they're going to all of a sudden be good people and grant you something?
No, they're the devil
contractors.
We know they work for the devil contractors.
So they're going to crush you. And
but the point is, when you go in with a school full of people into those courts, they don't crush you. They are working that in the state of Oregon right now. When 20, 30 people go into a courtroom as witnesses, the judge sits there and be real pretty now.
Edward, this is not part of our agenda. This is not what we're going to be discussing, and this is not what we're going
to
be doing with NLA.
I'm
NLA
to get off in that
something
direction.
Different.
I'm just bringing up a point. But I'd like to get a copy of that sent to me, and you have my email, so when you get a chance, I appreciate it when you could email it to me.
All right, well, so we'll have someone from Oregon. I'm sure there's people from Oregon to send it to Edward in Oregon.
Yeah,
but
peace of God bless Jesus, because if it wasn't for Jesus, none of us would be here.
All right, thank you, Ed. Let's take the next caller. Thanks, Ed. Let's see, 8049. Go right ahead, 864.
Yeah, hi, John. How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, I just wanted to know what your take is on the 1854 Paterford versus the Savannah Board of Aldermen.
Well, I've heard of the case. I remember Savannah, but I don't particularly remember exactly the details of that case. But it's a familiar-sounding case. What exactly does it say?
Okay, it's a case where they ruled that this guy was pleading his constitutional rights, and they said he was not a signer of the Constitution, so he had no power.
Yes, I remember that case. Yeah, you know what my position is? Null and void.
Null and void, and why is that?
Because when our founding fathers set up the Constitution and they set up the process of government, they did it for themselves and their posterity, number one. Number two, they brought it under God. If you go back to the original form, that Jefferson copied, you'd go back for a 400-year period, and going back into Mosaic days, the Moses' days, and when they set up the law under God and the king under God, God himself being the king, that's what America was set up on, under those terms and process, the family and the 10 and the 100 and the 1,000. And the whole system was set up under God. So this is God, and the rights that they claimed were unalienable rights. In other words, rights given by God, and they put us under natural law. Now, if a person living in America doesn't want to be under natural law and doesn't want to exercise their rights, they're free not to exercise those rights. And if they really hate them so much, they're free to leave too. So whatever it is that they want to do, they're free to do it. But generally speaking, we are blessed from our founding fathers. Remember, this is our heritage. It is what the inheritance is liberty. Our heritage is common law. And so we've inherited that from our founding fathers, which they passed on to us. You know, again, we read in the Constitution, you know, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, and so on, do ordain for ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Whatever I do, I'm doing for my children. And if I kick the bucket next month, whatever it is that I've accumulated in life, it goes to my wife and my children. You know, this is their inheritance from me, from whatever I've accomplished. And no difference in government.
So basically what you're saying is the judge ruled incorrectly.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He ruled incorrectly so that they can bring in the fraud and tyrants could come in and rule us. And now we're being ruled by oligarchy out there in Washington, D.C. Do you want to live under that? Do you think that's right? They're the ones who created that judge and made that ruling happen, and they're the ones who are benefiting from it. So do we just give it up to those criminals?
No.
Yeah, well, that's why we're right and they're
another
wrong.
Thing is, my other question is, I tried looking for the quo warranto so I could send it off myself, and I can't find it.
Yeah, you'll find it in two places. If you go down on the front page and you'll come to the video, I'm not sure if it's right above the video or right below the video. You'll see the quo warranto video, and you'll see the quo warranto there. You can also go on to our news page. Just click on media, and that'll be the breaking news page, and you'll find it there in chronological delivery. I think it was delivered, I forget the date. So.
Okay, and my second thing is you need to read, for our prayer next time, read Psalms 35. 1-8.
Psalms 35, 1-8. Okay, I'll definitely take a look at that.
Yeah. It's a prayer for us. It's a prayer where we're asking God to take care of our enemies. It's the only the only prayer in the Bible I found that we can ask God to help us fight against our enemies.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them, and we have brought some up in the past, and there's a lot of them in there, so this is another one, and maybe next week we'll read those.
Okay. Anyway, just check it out.
And what was your first name, by the way?
John.
What was your first name?
Stephen.
Stephen, and what state?
South Carolina.
Okay, Steve from South Carolina. Hey, we need leaders down there, okay? So thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Next person, 434 number. I don't have a name.
Virginia Curtis.
How you doing, Curtis from Virginia?
Doing very good, John. I really appreciate some of the things you brought out tonight to help clarify, because those were some of the questions. That being about having emails of our constituents or our associates, I should say. In our state, the coordinator should not have them on their private mailing list, and I do have some, and I'll have to get those out of there.
Okay.
You mentioned that we could email from the NLA website, and I have not for certain been able to figure out where to do that at.
Okay, I'll tell you how. You're a state coordinator or assistant?
Yes, sir, I sure am. Yes,
okay.
Sir, I'm new.
Okay,
I'm
well,
the
if you
lead
go...
coordinator, so...
If you go up to the page on the blue bar, let's see, is it under contacts? I know we move things around here.
Yeah, that's one of the problems I'm having.
For media campaign group, political contacts. Might be under contacts. Gary, if you're here and you remember, pipe in here. Mass. Okay, here it is. If you go to contacts, okay, highlight contacts, and you'll see only state coordinators see this tab. The state the tab is called state coordinator instructions. Okay, click on that, and it'll give you some instructions and a few things that you can do. You know, it tells you how to. Okay, the download is not available anymore, but there is how to mass email everyone in the state. There are other things. We didn't teach or talk to anybody about the calendar. People figure that stuff out on their own. It's the same as probably any other calendar out there on the Internet. And the same thing with the bulletin board. People know how to, seem to know how to use that. Then there's the email, of course. You can do any state coordinator can do their own blog right there on their state if they wanted to. And, of course, it should always be focused in on NLA business and what we're doing. And but that should help you right there. Do you see it? How to mass email everyone in the state.
Great, great. That'll help me out tremendously. I've been trying to keep up with the site, but I know it seems like it changes every day I get on it. There's something been moved.
Well, we have reorganized a little bit, and I don't think it's going to change much anymore, but we'll be adding things in here. That's why we reorganized. So we'll hopefully be adding some new things in here soon, but the main tab should remain the same, I think, now.
I really appreciate you. I can understand some of the problems we're having with a lot of folks because a lot of people are coming on here have different levels of knowledge, and some of it's incorrect,
right.
some of it's bogus, and some of it's misdirection. But the passion, they're passionate about it, as I myself have been, but the trying to find the truth and dig through all of this stuff is like a needle in a haystack. But keeping us on point, because I think people are thinking that we're a grand jury already, and I understand that we're not really.
Right.
And this organization
we come together as a grand jury to deal with the problems, and we have done presentments and to do the paperwork in order to do information. So we've come together as grand jurists, and we are kind of sitting as grand jurists, so we can use that as an excuse to the media if they want to speak to us, and we can say, well, you know, right now I'm sitting on the grand jury, I can't talk about those things. Once you go to the website there, and all the information's right there on media. But we're talking to some. We've been trying to get someone to really take the lead from a journalist or someone that's working with us. We're picking up new people, and we're looking for one person to take that lead where everyone can point to. If anybody wants to know something, they point to, oh, he's got the exclusive on the story. Go talk to him or her.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out for something like that. The other thing is I was going to mention, because you do harp a lot on the plan, and a lot of people don't seem to get it. They're wanting to do all these other things, and we've had that same problem ourselves. And I want to get to point out that your mission statement is extremely important, and I know it's I know where it is, and I haven't got any trouble finding it. But maybe it should be up on the front page here, easier to get, because I think that I've suggested to our people that they read that at least once a week. That was my suggestion, because it's very easy for you to get outside the guidelines, because the mission statement is really our guideline, and if we get outside the guideline by doing these other things, then we're having our time, our money, and our effort, all of our resources are being redirected in the wrong area.
Right. Well, the mission statement you're talking about is under the welcome tab. It's hard to put everything on the front lines, because then you really want to put everything on the front line, but you can't. You have to categorize it.
But
you know what? This is something that's a good idea. This is something that every state meeting should come up with. They should look at the tabs that they think are important and make sure all the people coming to the meetings have looked at. You know, under the juris tabs and looking at all the documents there, that's what I think is some of the most important papers, juris documents. Okay, but you're absolutely right. Under the welcome, the mission statement is an important thing. Back under the juris tabs, we also have information on state plan as a must read, and other things. Why we must act quickly, you know?
Would it be possible for you to put that on the tab as mission statement? I just feel that is such an important item to because we're wasting a lot of time trying to correct people and trying to hone them in, and that's because they.
Well, you're thinking we should move it from the welcome tab to the jurors tab.
I just think that the mission statement should be on, have its own tab, so that they can see the mission. You know, our mission. This is our mission.
Right.
So they need to be able to see that. They may find it, and then, you know, if it's out of sight, John, it's out of mind.
Yeah, you know what I may do is I may talk with the tech to see if on the bottom of every page, you know how you have it very small letters written, a lot of different tabs and stuff. Maybe we can do something like that.
Like a link, jump the link.
Yeah, links. In other words, we could probably get 20 or so links down on the bottom, which would be the most important ones. Like you're thinking, you know, contacts would be one. But contacts is right on the bottom. But nevertheless, we could be redundant on that.
I'll see what I might be able to do.
But I think the best thing to do right now. I'm not seeing this. Format changing much. I've also been thinking about doing a map, so maybe we'll do a map. But anyway, if you go to Welcome and just highlight Welcome, you can look at the things under that list, then go to Media and look under that, and go to Books and Essays. And by the time you get through all these tabs, just looking at what's underneath these tabs, you'll start to see the logic on why we put it the way we did, and it'll probably be helpful to remember where these things are.
Yeah, well, it's the only reason it was a burden to me is I just kind of got into this spot, and I'm trying to catch up. And it happens to be when you're putting so much in here and you're adding a lot of changes, because there's been a lot of changes. But I've had no problem finding the mission statement. I know where that is. But locating that mail thing, I probably couldn't see it on the tree. That used to be
under the state. I think we called it the state coordinators page or something like that, states. Used to be there, but we consolidated all of the states, the counties, and now that we have a national leader, everything under contacts, and that seemed to be the logical place to put it, would be under contacts. So if you're going to be looking for a state coordinator, or you're going to be looking for your own state, and right there is state coordinator's instructions.
I see everything there now. That's good. All right, I appreciate it. I'll get off, let somebody ask your question. Thanks very much, John.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see. Mark from Pennsylvania, you're next. Go right ahead.
Hello, John.
This is
Mark, the Spark in Philadelphia.
How you doing, Mark?
And I appreciate you taking my call. And being that I've called the last five times and not been able to get through, I hope that you might give me a couple minutes here.
Sure.
First of all, we start with respect. Without respect, we are nothing. I cannot respect another unless I have self-respect. So it starts with respect. And we embrace patience, and then we embrace love and compassion. So now, it seems to me, okay, first of all, I acknowledge you and Gerard and Rick and whoever else is in your group who I've not met and don't know, but by what you guys have put together, you've done a lot of work. And you went through your own experiences and come to some conclusions and some ideas for what could work. I have not been through those experiences that you've been through, but I may have some of my own experiences. And I will speak up for others who are out there listening who've also had their own experiences that are also maybe different and unique to yours. This whole thing for us is about education, where we have to uneducate ourselves about what we've been told falsely through our schooling system and through multiple generations. We have to unlearn what we thought was real and learn what really, really is real. And that's quite a challenge. So, and we're way behind the eight ball because the evil powers that be who seem to be in control behind a lot of things have been at this for a long, long, long time. Little step by little step by little step by little step, whereas we're just now learning about this and we got to play catch up big time. So time is of the essence. So it seems to me like if you're going to lead a group of people, you want to make it easy for them to understand and easy for them to get on board and to connect and to become part of the team because the greatest accomplishments happen with teams of people. okay, who are focused on the same goal and are willing to work together. And they may have their differences, but they're willing to work out their differences. So now I want to comment some, because somebody called into your show last week who happens to be a long-term friend of mine, and this man is your elder. I don't know exactly how old you are, but I know you're younger than my friend who called in. And he happens to be a minister of, I think, 37 years minister as a United Methodist minister. So he is on the same idea of God and brotherhood of man and loving and compassion toward his fellow man. And but the way you treated him last week was rude. It was not evidence of a leader. And you actually made me mad because you upset me. You acted disrespectfully to my friend, okay? And he's my elder, and he's a very wise person. And he's organized, I will guess to say he's probably organized a lot more people and a lot more groups than you have, John, or anyone in your group has. I'll just throw that out there. Maybe I'm off, but I don't think so. So there are people out here that are listening, they're watching, and they want to know that what you got is something that could be a real remedy, okay? But if you take these calls and you spend the first hour, tonight was different, but the previous nights went on and on and on, and being that you only have one meeting a week, you got a lot of people that want to get on board, but yet you put them on hold. And that's a form of disrespect. And then the people that would call in about all these different subjects that were not focused. And it's up to you as the leader to bring them back to focus. If they want to talk about God and religion, you say that's on Saturday night. But what I witnessed many times is that every time people call in about that, you converse with them about that instead of saying, hey, let's talk about that on Saturday. So I don't know, that seemed to waste time. I don't have time to waste. I'm trying to get on board here and get real, and I'm trying to figure out that this is valid. Now, so feedback, the other thing is, are you still with me? Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. I had myself muted. Go ahead.
Okay. So the other thing is, there are other people who are well-versed and well-educated who are working toward the same goal, but maybe from a little bit different perspective, okay? A couple of these people I know, one of them is Richard Mack, okay? Now, when I first heard that you guys, when I first heard about you guys, and I learned a little bit about what you were about, I said, we've got to get the sheriffs on board. I've got to talk to Richard. I've got to find out, and surely this group has been in touch with Richard. Well, I couldn't find much out that you guys have been in touch with Richard, and then when I found out, there seemed to be a conflict. Now, I know Richard well enough to know that he would not create a conflict. He would actually listen and have the patience to try to work something out and get to the truth. At least that's the Richard I knew just a few months back when I talked with him. Maybe he's changed. I don't know. I don't think so, though. Okay, and the stuff that guy went through, he defeated the federal government, okay, with the help of a federal district judge. And by the way, I don't believe all judges are bad. I would say that a lot of them have been corrupted, but does that mean they're all corrupted? Does that mean, are all the sheriffs bad? Is everybody so corrupt that they're just that evil? I don't think so. I think that there are people out there who are involved in these different areas, judgeship or sheriffs, and maybe some attorneys, and we do know that there are constitutional attorneys. I think there's some good people out there. Okay, and by the way, so the fight that Richard Mack took on, he went all the way to the Supreme Court, and he did that because of Judge Rolls. Judge Rolls was the guy that got assassinated when Gabby Giffords is the talk of the town trying to take away our guns. Well, there's no talk about Judge Rolls. Judge Rolls stood up for Sheriff Mack. Judge Rolls told the federal government, no, I will not throw this case out, that I will let this case stand, and he will go forward, okay? Judge Rolls got assassinated because 1 month before he showed up with Gabby Giffords to speak, he had actually allowed forth a lawsuit one of the law, actually a couple of lawsuits. One of the big lawsuits was about large corporations, several large corporations, knowingly and repeatedly dumping toxins which would get into the aquifer. It was found out that it was getting into the aquifer. And that's a big deal for any place, but especially in the Southwest, in Arizona, where water is a really very, very valuable resource.
All right, well, I don't want to get off point here, though, but you've raised a lot of issues, and maybe I'd like to respond to some of them, you know.
Okay, well.
If I was disrespectful to someone, I apologize. I know I did get a little loud and excited only because I thought I had to, but again, if I was disrespectful, I apologize. I didn't mean any if I appeared that way. You know, when you talk about people waiting and stuff, just consider the fact how long you've been on. And it's difficult. You see, I like conversation, and I like to hear other people's positions and points, and sometimes they go off on a wrong direction. I try to reel them back in, but I also try to be polite to them and not insult them and so on. But, you know, I do the best I can. You know, when it comes to religion, you know, the only thing, of course, we read the Bible because it's the Word of God. It's what our country, our nation was built upon. And anybody who says different just doesn't know the true history. They're just believing the lies. But Christian religion is very tolerant, the true Christian religion. I'm not talking about the wacky Christian religion because most Christian religions, quote unquote, are kind of off the wall. But generally speaking, the real Christians, the people who truly are followers of the Lord Christ and are born again, we're very tolerable to all religions. We welcome all religions. You know, God teaches us to be kind to everyone, to all people, to do good to all people. And what we did find, you know, I know basically most of the major religions, they all accept the Old Testament. And quite a few of them, even though they don't follow Christ, they do accept his teachings. So, you know, but I don't normally get into religion per se, and I live religion. I mention Christ and Jesus and might say something to express because it's part of who I am. And I think everyone should express themselves no matter what their beliefs is. I'm not going to get upset from someone who believed in Buddha or something, you know, and they express that as we don't want people getting in conversations of that in state meetings. If people want to get together and worship together, three or four or five, say, hey, yeah, you know, why don't we have a Bible study? That's fine, or whatever, or some other study in some other religion. That's their business. God bless them.
Right.
But so anyway, as far as Richard Mack is concerned, we decided long ago, we're not reaching out for anyone. We're not chasing anyone. We're just doing what we have to do. We're trying to get the word out, and hopefully the groups will find us. And they'll become with us. We go on radio programs. We talk to people. We talk to groups. We kind of did try to make a little bit of a reach out to Richard because he was with the sheriffs, but he didn't seem to take too kind to that, so we kind of left it alone for right now. But judges, you know, saying that as far as the judges being evil, I will tell you one thing. You might be right with some of the guys that may be good or they want to be good and want to do the right thing, but they're trapped. And when they have the opportunity to do the right thing and they think they can get away with it, they'll do it. But when it comes down to the really hard ball, when it comes down, when they get the visit and they're told, let me tell you something, the last thing you want to do is rule that way on this case, they understand what that means. And that's it. Huh. And they're going to go the other direction. And that's the fact, because what you have to understand is what we are dealing with. You have to really understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with organized crime here.
That's assuming
and
that
we
you,
need not even that, go right. any further than that. So
right, I understand, but by what you
I know Judge Rolls that he was taken out, and he was taken out because he was assassinated, and they didn't even mention his name. You see, he was an example to every other judge. See what we did to that guy? Nobody even know he died.
Right.
Nobody
okay,
even know
so,
we killed him right in public.
Right. So on this issue, and the reason why I brought that up is basically because of Richard Mack, and what he's one of the few people that I know of that's trying to educate the sheriffs in what's good and what's right and their true authority, okay?
Right.
So now on that same note, and that's called bringing people into the fold and to reach out to these groups, not to tell them what to do or try to get them, to, you know, but to try to collaborate and say, hey, how do you see this? Like as of another, for instance, Edwin Vieira, who's a constitutional expert from what I understand, another one would be John Whitehead with the Rutherford Institute. I don't know if you're aware of him and what he's done, the great work he's done in defense of many, many people across the country. So,
we're trusting in God to lead the people here, and we're not looking to connect with people. We're looking to educate whoever we can educate. I don't know if Sheriff Mack is interested in being educated by us. I think he's got to a point where he thinks he needs to be, and I don't know if he wants to take the next step, because I know Sheriff Mack. I've had dinner and lunch and breakfast with him on a couple occasions. I've met him along the road here in New York numerous times, and I don't know that he knows me. Well, we sat and ate together, so to some degree he does. Maybe he doesn't remember me. Who knows? But the bottom line is he doesn't know or don't remember. He hasn't seen my face, so he doesn't know who I am. Maybe he won't even remember me. I don't know. He doesn't remember that he's spoken with me. But the bottom line is I can tell you this, though. Okay, Sheriff Mack may know a little bit about the Constitution, but he knows nothing about common law. That I can tell you. And that's okay. That's nothing bad. I wish he did know about common law. I wish he would learn. I wish he would take the opportunity to hear and to come and study some of the things we found on common law so that he can really understand the Constitution. Because the Constitution, when we talk about the Constitution, a lot of people don't realize there's not much in the Constitution really that affects us directly, with the exception of when they violate what they can do and what they can't do, which is what the Constitution really does. Is it tells Congress what their authority is. It tells the administration, and it also tells the judicial process. This is what you can do, and anything outside of that, whatever, you don't have authority. But it's the Bill of Rights, particularly, which is the most powerful for the people, and that's the one that we should really be involved with on a daily basis. And yet, it's so small. It's only 10 amendments, and it's so small.
I understand that, and to the point, because I know I'm taking time here, but to the point, and that's this. At the end, somebody has to enforce this. Now, if you're going to recommend that we, as a small group, go into the courthouse and try to tell a judge what to do, we're going to get arrested.
No,
okay?
You don't
now,
know here, our plan. That's not our plan. That's not our plan, though. That's not our plan.
If a leader doesn't put any of the people at risk unnecessarily, okay, and and there are people out here that don't know this stuff as well as you seem to know it, okay? So you tell them to do something, and what if you're wrong? And if you're wrong, are you going to go to their rescue to get them out?
Of course. Okay. We're not going to let anyone... Well, no, let me, because I don't want to lose that one. Look, absolutely, anyone that they come out after, they're going to meet the wrath of all of us. That's number one. Number two, we've already done this through New York, and we discovered what their game is. And they did the same thing. When we came on to the federal level, very first thing, again, you got the FBI looking at us. Again, same thing in New York. You got the FBI looking at us. But what have they done, or what can they done? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because we use what? United States Supreme Court rulings. We're rich in that, super rich in that stuff. We use the Constitution. We use the Magna Carta. We use the Bill of Rights. We use the Holy Bible. We use common law, the history of common law, trial by jury. These things, what are they going to arrest us for? Words? They're going to arrest us for truth.
Okay. Well,
the truth of the matter is who they are and what they are, the fiction. They know they're a fiction, but they've convinced the people that fiction is reality. But when turn it around to let them know that fiction is not reality, that fiction is a fraud, okay, they get very uncomfortable about that. They'd like us to go away. But we're not going away, and they can't have us arrested.
Here's a case that really kind of surprised me. Okay, if we're going to do this stuff, and I don't know, I have not tested this personally. Okay, but why would we get hung up on a small thing about a 2-cent stamp, which might put some people in jeopardy? We don't know that for sure, and until we know
that,
hold on. Why would we want to put people in jeopardy over a 2-cent stamp issue? Why not just – that's not to say that that's not an issue, but is it a higher priority issue? I mean, it doesn't seem like to me. Because what if
It's another evidence of more fraud against the American people. They sold our freaking post office to somebody else.
Do we want to push that issue early on?
Let's respond to this. Hold on. Yeah, we do, and I'll tell you why. Because we, the people, there is no more middle class. I should have been middle class. I'm not middle class. A lot of people, anybody who is an entrepreneur and has been successful in business and finds out that they can't even keep a dollar in their pocket, something is wrong. Okay, they've destroyed that. Money is tight. And we have a lot of people who cannot afford, you know, to run this mail. You know, the first mailing we did on the from the United States Common Law Grand Jury, the very first mailing ran over $6,000. Do you have $6,000? It was a lot of money. Well, yeah. $3,000 of it was mailing. $3,000 was mailing, okay? So how do you come about dealing with that? Well, here's the fact of the matter. Okay, here's the fact of the matter. They destroyed our economy. Back in 1863, I think it was 1863, they established the cost for mail, for the drop letter. It's 2 cents a half ounce if it's within the district. In other words, if you live in Poughkeepsie and you're mailing to someone else in Poughkeepsie, that's 2 cents per half ounce. If it goes outside from one post office to another post office, that's 3 cents per half ounce, and that's uniformed across the entire United States. So if you mail a letter from New York and you mail it to California, it's 3 cents a half ounce. And if California mails it to Nevada, it's 3 cents a half ounce. They've made it uniform so that it's affordable, okay? And that is ours. We own the United States Post Office. The United States, that job was given under Article 1 of the Constitution, Section 8, was given to Congress to create a post office and post roads. That was their job. And what did they do? In 1970, they incorporated it, and they sold it to a foreign country, and now they run our mail system. The people, these people working for the mail department, they look at you like you got six heads if you tell them. They have no clue that what happened. Okay? Then they established a committee. Now, bear in mind, no law has ever been written since the 1863 law. And remember, you go back into the 50s and the 60s, you know, the three cent mail was around when I was a kid, okay? 50s, 60s, and even 70s. That's when the mail started to change in the early 70s, late 60s. Okay. It started to go up a couple of pennies. But it only went up a couple of pennies in the 70s when they created a commission. They created a commission, and they incorporated the United States Post Office. We didn't give them the authority to do that. How can they sell that which is ours? That belongs to us, okay? They sold it to a foreign corporation for profit. They then created a committee under the Act. I think it's the 1970 Postal Act, something like that, 1971 Postal Act. They then created the corporation under that Act. They created a committee that can make rules and regulations for the post office. And the rules and regulations for the post office also was the ability to create new prices. Okay, they can raise the rate or lower the rate. They can do whatever they want, and they had to have a certain approval process for that. So now you have a foreign country that owns this that's charging us a fortune. Now the reason why they're up at 48 cents or 47, whatever it is, right now for a letter or an ounce, the reason why they're up that high at this point is mostly because of inflation. Okay, which again, who did that? That came about by the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve isn't part of the government. That's ours. We gave Congress in Article 1, also in Section 8, the authority to coin money and demand no state is to make anything but silver and gold legal tender. Okay, right. And what did they do? They didn't even create the necessary laws to make that change. They just did whatever they want. They created the fiction. They moved everything over. So they destroyed all that. Now, what does the law say? And I'm into the law. Now, the real law says that, first of all, that the postmaster cannot require any more money than what is required by law. What's required in law? 1863, 3 cents per half ounce. Has that law ever been changed? Has there been other new law? Not at all. Well, wait a second. Didn't they create a commission who could go out and create rules and regulations and thereby change the rates? I guess they did. That was illegal, but yeah, they did. Well, they made the changes. They made it 48 cents. Are they legislators? Are they elected by us? Is that law? Show me where the law is. It's not law. It has nothing to do with us. You see,
okay,
they can't win this argument. They can't win.
No,
they want
to.
This is one. This is one argument. Hold on. No, hold on. This is one argument, believe me, they will not want to bring to us, the people, we the people who are forming grand juries across the nation. This is one argument. They will not want to come
to
life.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Here's the deal, John. If I was to do that myself and then they come at me, you're going to come to my support.
Absolutely. Anybody, okay. If you're doing it, what we're doing it correctly, absolutely. Bear in mind one thing, and I've read this on the Internet, and if you read very carefully, it is a crime for anyone to do this 3 cents thing. But it sounds like that's what they're saying, but when you go read it, they're talking about those people who are selling the process of the 3 cent mailing. They're talking about that being a crime, and it's not even a crime anyway, but they're claiming okay. that's the crime. But there is no crime.
Okay.
To obey the law. I'm obeying the law. The law says 3 cents. I'm going to mail for 3 cents. You're going to put me in jail for obeying the law. What law do you have? They don't even have a law, anything that they can use against us. Nothing.
Okay.
And the
okay,
worst
well,
thing they could do is send it back and say, hey, you didn't put enough postage on it. Okay,
okay
we have
I
a
know,
plan for that.
If we know that you'll come to our aid if something were to happen with that, okay, that gives me more assurance. Now,
any person, let me clear this up right now. Any person who is intimidated in any way that they feel that they're going to come after them legally for anything that we at National Liberty Alliance is doing, we at National Liberty Alliance and One Accord across the nation will be right on that case with them. We'll be in the courtroom. We'll do everything and anything necessary. They won't come out after us that way, though. Okay, but they will come out. They will come out, and this is where our duty was and our responsibility was, and this is what my big speech was about earlier today. A lot of people who don't know what they're doing. I'm telling you, we do know what we're doing. A lot of people who don't trying to take this process that we're doing into different directions. They're trying to play in the fiction. Those people will go to jail. Anybody in National Liberty Alliance that goes and puts a commercial lien on a judge and you think we're going to back you up on that, forget about it. We've already told you don't do it. We have put up disclaimers on one of those things where the person had done that very same thing. They went out and put billions of dollars. Billions, not millions, B with a billions, on a judge in the name of the common law grand juries.
Okay.
Using our seal, doing that,
right.
We had to do a disclaimer and separate ourselves from that person. We had another
okay.
guy who went out after the United States and calling for all-out war, and that was subversion against the United States of America. We had to do a disclaimer for that. He, too, had a seal, one of our seals. Those are the people that are going to put us in jail. And that's why I'm telling people we have to stay on the straight and narrow, stay focused, and stay where we know we're safe. And what we need to do is where it's being safe anyway. We need to get into the courts. That's where we need to focus. And whatever we have to do, and we'll do indictments, or presentment, shall I say, particularly, which is an indictment anyway, but we'll do presentments on anyone that gets in our way. We will do that. And we
okay.
have not been approached by any FBI or anybody for doing that, and we never will. Because
okay.
this is our right.
Personally,
okay,
the issue of the stamps is not as much of a big deal, as since 1913 they've been using monopoly money, assigning trillions of dollars worth of debt to the United States people, getting us involved in wars,
paying off people.
And they built FEMA camps with our labor to put us in now. Now they're going to come and take our guns. Wow.
Right.
How about the IRS?
Okay.
It's all illegal.
Okay.
The whole thing.
I just have a couple more things. So back to the deal about. It seems to me like we would want to align ourselves and collaborate with those who seem to be on the same page, just coming from a different direction. Now, if it's not Richard Mack, who I agree he may not be well versed in common law,
but we get along with Richard Mack. Even if he disagrees with some things, we could still get along and we could still join forces. Of course.
Because here's the deal. As I see it, you go out to Z is somebody has to enforce this. If the real authority in the county is, and we are a county-based organization here, 3,133 counties, from what I understand, the highest authority in any county based upon the Magna Carta is the sheriff. Okay, so we need the sheriffs on our side. We need
absolutely,
to help them.
Absolutely, but don't think that we need Richard Mack on our side to have the sheriffs on our side. We're educating the sheriffs with or without Richard Mack. We wish that Richard Mack would be more involved with us, read
right.
some of our papers, and take it to the
okay.
sheriffs because we write powerful legal stuff.
Okay, now here's the other thing. So the other person might be Edwin Veer. Another person might be might be John Whitehead with the Rutherford Institute. These are really keen people. These guys are great guys.
I agree.
So, and they might have something to say about you, even you, John, and mm-hmm. Gerard and Rick and whoever else is in your group have not experienced, and they might be able to help you sidestep a landmine. I mean, really,
well, absolutely.
That you have not.
No, if they called us, we would definitely engage them. But we're not in the process of calling any group or any leader. We have not done that, and we will not do that. We are out trying to get the word out every way we can. And any group that finds us and agrees to us and they send their people here, well, God bless them, because, look, at whatever you're doing, keep doing, but you can also do what we're doing, at least on a little bit, and support us.
So it seems to me it's going to boil down to, at the end, something has to have teeth to have some to enforce it. So that's the background of having the sheriffs.
All that's in the plan. And I will assure you.
If another group aside from National Liberty Alliance, uh-huh. let's say because of December 24th, if right. sheriffs and militias got together and did want to go to D.C. and arrest everybody over this for treason and stuff, we would support that other group, right?
Absolutely. Look at the December 24th thing. We already wrote a paper on that. I'm hoping to get it out before December 24th. But even if it comes out after December 24th, it's fine. But the thing is how fast can we get the people to do what has to be done? How long does it take?
You're talking about the small arms treaty?
How long does it take for the state coordinators and the states to recover off the cost and the work that they have to do to get the last mailing out? Excuse me. And so that's and that's why we went to the 3-cent stamp. I'll tell you, here's the bottom line. We shouldn't have to even put a stamp on our envelopes because we are the people doing the people's business saving this nation. And you rest assured, I'll tell you what, I don't care that foreign country that bought up the United States Postal Service, that bought that from the people who work for us without our permission, I don't care that they're getting shortchanged. That's their problem. They shouldn't have done it in the first place. What they did was evil, just as evil as what our country, our nation has done, the people that work for us and our nation has done for us. That's their problem. I don't care. I don't care about it.
Now, the other thing is feedback on your website is to have a mission page and then have a progress page that we're mm-hmm. like things that you've addressed, several weeks ago when you talked about Richard Mack, and I was listening to the next week's call, hoping that you would follow through on what any progress that had been made there, like, you know, staying with the flow of things and giving us the feedback, because there's a lot of people out here that, I mean, maybe I'm not the only one, but I don't think so, that wants to know what's happening, how even if it's a little step that we're making in progress, it's great, because we're making headway,
and our efforts are counting for something.
Yeah.
We do that on Monday nights. We do post everything that we do on the breaking news page. We do have some journalists that are with us, and maybe I'll ask one of the journalists, I've probably already done this, but I'll ask them again, you know, if they want to write, do that kind of a story on us and maintain that. Matter of fact, there is an individual that recently contacted us, and I think he might be the ideal person for this. I don't know, but there are people with us that are, if they want to do it, you know, fine. But I certainly don't have the time to add on to my agenda, onto my workload, doing that particular paper. But if we can find someone who could do it, definitely we'll do that.
Okay. And the other thing is to rally behind. It seems to me that what I've, you know, been through this for some little bit of time.
I believe John's laying the foundation first. He's showing what they've done wrong, how they're in the wrong, and telling them that we're notifying the other Americans, basically. Like, there's a steps to go through,
exactly.
You know what
That's
I mean?
The plan, yes. It's right. It's the right thing to do, exactly.
Okay, so it seems to me that because I haven't yet to hear that we've had a breakthrough in any county, but all we need is one as an example and then another one to follow. And there are issues that are happening
I've come to realize it's not going to happen that way. It's all or none. It's going to be a big burst right through. It's not going to be a point here and a point there. It's not going to happen that way. Never. I see the resistance is too great. The pressure is going to mount and mount until they collapse. And trust me, there is a point of collapsing for these people. Trust me on that. I know this, okay? There is a point of collapsing for these people. There's only so much they can bear.
And then there are things coming down the pike that we haven't talked about, we're not going to talk about, because we can't talk about it. If we did, it would, it's like showing your cards.
Okay,
in,
so you're,
in
okay,
a poker
so you're,
game.
So you're, okay, as an example here, back in Missouri, there was an issue that happened with a kid. His name happens to be the same as the city that we're all hearing about now. It's called, his name is Ferguson, Ryan Ferguson. He was put in prison for 10 years. He was accused of something, and he supposedly had two eyewitnesses, which later recanted their testimony. The thing was a total sham from the beginning, and it was run by a Kevin Crane, who was a prosecuting attorney. Well, guess what? Kevin Crane violated the legal procedure that they're supposed to follow, evidence, he withheld evidence, all of this stuff, and put a kid, an innocent kid at age 19, in prison for 10 years. Now Kevin Crane is a judge in that same county. In the county, folks, it's Boone County, where Daniel Boone settled when he moved from Kentucky into Missouri. When he first settled in Missouri, he moved to Boone, what they named it after him, Boone County, okay? And this is, and he's, now, Ryan has got a lawsuit pending toward the, he had it toward the county and the judge, but he, for some reason, he dropped those, and I don't know Ryan Ferguson personally, but he dropped the case against the judge and the county itself, but he's going after the six operators, I'm going to call them, who were the sheriff's deputies or police policemen who were supposed to have investigated. A couple of them are still on the force. The rest have either retired or moved away. And he's got a lawsuit.
So where is
them.
This going for us, though?
Well, the reason this is an example of where a local official, prosecuting attorney, now a judge, a sitting judge, was corrupt and he violated the law, and it could become a national issue.
No,
which,
no, not at all, not at all. He could do what he wants to do because he's the judge in a court where he is the king. You got to
understand.
Listen, let me repeat this one more time. You got to understand who your enemies. We're up against organized crime. Do you understand
right.
that? That's what
right.
we're up against, okay? They don't care no more who sees what anymore. They're at that point that 20 years ago they would have been a little afraid if you came out after them for this. Right now, they don't care. Because first of all, they know the media is not going to carry your story. They know no other judge or no other lawyer is going to take up the case, okay, because they're going to threaten them if they even try. They already know to stay away from it. There was a lawyer... has been very successful, who recently made some statements concerning the corruption in the courts and how serious it is. And I should get that tape and put that up on online also.
Okay, so
and,
let me ask you.
They're so scared. They built FEMA camps and have armed every single agency out there with enough
right.
bullets to kill each of us seven times. They know we're going to get ticked off when the dollar collapses and we're going to take our
right.
country back. That's
okay.
why they've got the continuity of government plan in Denver Airport.
Okay, so John, what I'd like to finally ask, and then I'll get off the line here, and then you can answer the
just so
the
you realize,
online.
you see how important it is sometimes to stay with a caller for a while.
No, I understand, but I'm not talking about Wally World stuff. I'm talking about real stuff because I'm trying
to
do stuff.
You know, I
and
think
by the
a
way,
lot of
by the way,
conversations
and by the way, by the way, I'm living in Pennsylvania, but I'm originally from Missouri, okay? And I'm fighting the good fight in Missouri and here, okay?
Yeah.
On my own, without a group of any kind, okay? I've took it upon myself to call and wake up people and have serious conversations with key people, namely sheriffs, by the way. And so my understanding is from what I'm gathering from what you just said is that you don't see having a breakthrough like a one breakthrough here that could lead to another breakthrough. You think we're going
to
take it all? We're
going to
take them all
think,
down simultaneously? How,
yeah, I, yeah. And, I used then, to think that it would come down the way you just thought it might come, one here, one there, and then we put a little more wedge here and a wedge there. No, they're too organized for that to happen. The word is out. All the judges in the nation at this point understand that we're here. They know about us. We're the talk at the water cooler. We're the talk at the coffee pot. Trust me on that.
Okay. Do you see it as people storming the gates, behind, standing beside and behind their
sheriff?
I see
them collapsing. You got to understand the nature of good and evil too. You see, a lot of people don't bring that into the game, into the plan, into the role, into the realization, the psychology. There's good and evil, and you got to understand that. And when you meet evil with good, And you, that, in other words, righteousness, principles, honor, justice, mercy, focusing in on that which is honorable, and to stop the wrongdoers and to help the injured, and you know, to restore the people who have been injured. You see, when you take that kind of a role and you come into the most corrupt court in the world, I just said that too. You come into the most corrupt court in the world, and you put righteousness on paper where they will never allow it to stay 1 minute in their books. It will. You cannot go into these federal courts or even the state courts these days, at least not New York, and file certain papers that they're not going to make disappear. They expunge everything. Sometimes they may wait a while before they expunge it, but they're going to pull it out. It's not going to be there. You go back and look for some cases, and you won't find them no more because they're expunging cases every single day. But what we've done is we've prevented them from doing that. How did we do that? By doing every single federal court in the nation, by going after everybody. We're going into Congress. We're filing with Congress. We're filing with the sheriff. We're filing with the marshals. We're filing with the FBI. And what are we doing when we're filing with them? We're educating them. We're revealing the fraud to everybody. They can't right. bear that weight. That weight can only go so long because, you see, let me repeat this. I think I said this earlier. The elite don't care. They don't care what you say or do about them. They just don't, because they're way, way too powerful for you to even get close to them. Forget about it. You're not going to get close to them. But these judges are the people that prevent the people from getting to them, okay? These judges and all of the elected officials. But you know what? They're not as protected as them. They're only so protected. You see, they feel protected because they have immunity. So they believe, but they don't. They have none of that. It's all a fraud. It's a lie. And when you lay it down on paper and they see it, what does it do? It makes them shake. It makes them realize they have trouble sleeping at night. Look it. They can only hold up to that pressure so long, trust me. And the more and more pressure we put on them, the more and more weaker they become. But then there are other things. There are certain pressures that we will eventually apply through the system on paper with the might of the pen that they absolutely will not be able to bear up to. And when it happens, you will recognize it and you'll say, wow, yes, they can't bear up to that one. Okay.
Well,
so
I encourage you, John, to listen. Go on YouTube and listen to what Sheriff Clark has to say. I think that all the sheriffs I've listened to, heard, or been able to access, Sheriff Clark, I think he would get it. I think he already does get it about common law. He's a black sheriff. He
I
gets
know,
about
I've
how
heard of, yes.
about
good guy.
He's really really keen. And whereas Richard might not be as accessible and open to
you're absolutely
respond to
correct.
The idea.
This guy is really, he's on point. I've heard him. I've listened to him on the internet already.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll let you go
he's
with that,
point.
And I appreciate, thank you for taking the time, and I don't mean to belabor it, but I was trying to get some serious issues addressed, and I appreciate you giving us the feedback, and please do follow through with letting us know how you see this panning out and playing out, because I'd like to be on board with that and do what I can to facilitate that. Thank you very much,
okay.
John.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Gerard and Rick. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, let's go to our next caller, Terry from Michigan. You get the mic. Michigan, Terry? One more call for Terry from Michigan. You there? We're about to move to the next caller. Terry from Michigan, last call. Kevin from Massachusetts.
Hi, John, Gerard, everybody. How you doing?
How you doing, Kevin?
Good, good. I was just tempted to pass, but I'll throw this out anyways because I got so many questions and thoughts going through my head. I feel like Ricochet Robinson now. okay, what I was the mention of money and
deorganization.
Well,
you're telling us your age here, by the way, so Ricochet Robinson.
Oh, I know. I just gave it away. This is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
okay, what I wanted to ask specifically, where you mentioned the mission of National Liberty Alliance, I was wondering where you had put up a couple of disclosures. Long story short, I'm a little bit confused about the two entities as far as filing as the common law grand jury versus the National Liberty Alliance being a learning institute, so to speak, for lack of better.
Right.
Well, here's my question, and then I'll let you have the floor, and I'll go because it's real quick. What kind of organization, as far as like where Liberty Alliance takes donations and such, as far as the legalities with the like the IRS and collecting money and reporting all this, are we what is it, a 401k? No,
we are nothing like that.
A 501k.
Yeah, we are nothing like that. Believe me.
Oh, okay.
We are, in order to get the, look at, I don't think Stephen Wise talk about, but we're nothing like that. We are common law 100%. Just let's leave it there.
Okay, well, what I was wondering and concerned about in the back of my head at a possible scenario down the road is,
let's put it this way, nothing you give to NLA is tax deductible. We don't even play in that game there to say to you that you should deduct it off your taxes. After all, that's
right,
part
this
of
is
fiction.
True, yep.
So we don't play in the fiction at all, and this is not a subject that we should discuss. And I think you should understand why.
For me as a skeptic, or approaching this skeptically, or just with, you know, making sure I want to, you know, this is all like legit and all that.
When you say to find out if this is legit, you're talking about NLA?
I'm still in the investigation.
That's good. Stay there as long as you feel
learning
you will be there.
Mode.
I understand that. But here's the key to the whole thing. You can tell a tree by its fruits. You listen for consistencies. Lies will be consistently obvious, okay? Truth will be consistent, and you'll never have the contradiction. So just look for that when you listen to the people here at National Liberty Alliance, the plan, and what we're doing and what we talk about. Are we consistent?
Right, well,
do we practice what we teach? Look at what the principles. We're talking to get on the principles of God. That's the only way you're going to save the nation.
Right.
We talk about going into the court, not on a witch hunt. Hold on, this is important because I'd like to just expound on this. We always tell people we're not on a witch hunt. We're not out to take any of these judges and put them in jail or anything. That's going to happen. If that's going to happen, it's because people are going to do that, not us. We're offering them the olive branch. We're talking about coming in the sense of honor, justice, and mercy. We have to be honorable at all times, and we have to remind each other that to be honorable and just and merciful. And
right.
You see, if I'm not honorable and I'm not just and I'm not merciful, well, then I'm a hypocrite. You look to see if I'm unjust.
Yeah.
You look to see if I am ever in dishonor, and you look to see how I act. And then you could figure out who I am, and the same thing. I could tell people after a while, just listen to the conversations. You'll figure out who they are. Certain things you just can't fake. People are good at BSing. People are good at playing the games.
Brilliant.
I get people who approach me and propose themselves to be something that they're not, but you say, I know what they should be doing and acting, and yet they're not doing and acting with what they're proposing who they are. So I know who they are, and I'm very mm-hmm. leery, and I'm careful with them. That's all.
I don't expose them. But what I guess I was just wondering about the money trail.
Right.
Where's it all going?
There's no big money here. We always have bills, always struggling on a bill.
Oh, I understand
that,
but...
And right
but
now,
there's no
one
disclosure
of the ways,
from National Liberty Alliance.
And there never will. There never will be. Look, at one of the things
okay.
we work
that,
on.
That,
right
in
now,
my mind, is the red flag, but I'll let it
yeah.
go at
well,
that.
That could be. Well,
but I'm still on
be,
board because I'm fully
listen,
behind
listen,
this movement.
If
trash,
you don't
John
understand, if you, no, no, he understands. Look, at if you don't understand that by us
my
exposing
God.
That, okay, would expose us to other things for attack. Do you understand that? And no one will ever see things the way it is, but the enemy definitely will look at. You already
no
brought up the names of certain
us.
You've already brought up certain organization names, certain agencies.
Yeah, well, I guess my fear is that they'll try to use that to bring us down.
You bet.
And that was one of my concerns.
But the bottom line is this.
How are we going to combat that?
Here's the bottom line, okay? One of the ways that National Liberty Alliance is trying to be able to pay the bills all on its own is through these books that we're selling.
The donation, self-supporting through our own contribution.
Well, there's a profit on the books. We're selling
the
jurist handbooks, okay? But there's still not enough profit on the books to carry us because we're always struggling trying to make that next order, and right now we're short. We only got about $6,000 put aside for the next order. That's going to be $15,000 to actually get it delivered for the next, $50,000 booklets. Okay. So in order to get that here, that's one of the reasons why we're doing a fundraiser. Okay. In order to get that extra.
Yeah, that was what we were talking about.
We also have 7 countries that want to join us. And each one of those countries...
I'm wary about that. I'd like to keep it in the continental states
Hawaii
and Alaska.
No, it will stay. The United States will stay the United States.
Because it's our constitution, you know.
Yeah, we will not fuse to them, but we will educate them. We will help them. We will create a place for them.
Right.
Do what they have to do. They're different than us. But they can come listen and learn from us. But we're all on our own game.
The government's bought bullets, camps, and they've been digging our graves. If we don't succeed, they're going to put most of us in those graves, separate us in camps, and start re-educating people for like something that'll make Russia and Germany look like romper room.
Kindergarten, yeah.
Yeah, we can't fail.
No.
Period.
Failing is not an option. Failing is not an option. And you know what? Here's one thing we have on our side that they don't have on their side. We have a reason to die for. We will go to the death, okay, because we will go for what we believe, for our posterity, for our children, for survival. They don't
have
that.
The real God gave us freedom. Their God wants to enslave everybody.
Yeah, so we got to do the best we can. But look, you're going to have to figure things out just by listening long enough. Either we're consistent or we're not. Look, we're going
to
produce.
That's what I'm trying to do now. I'm still trying to sort everything out.
Let me tell you the bottom line in the end results, okay, of all things. The people must increase. National Liberty Alliance must decrease. Right now, National Liberty Alliance must be up there, and people have to be pointing to National Liberty. You've got to be uplifting National. Yeah, there's the game. There's the plan. That's the group. Get involved. Do something, okay? But you see, once we get where we're going, we have to become something less than that. Because once we accomplish it, we don't need that kind of a focus. The people need the focus. That's the job on the grassroots right there in your county. It's the 4 individuals in that county making sure that justice is being served in their courts.
Right.
That's their job. Right. And they have to figure out how to do that, and we'll be here to advise them. Okay, we'll be here to continue to teach them. And they'll figure things out as time goes on, because that's where the world, real work is at. But we just have to get there.
Well, I guess my fears or concerns or paranoia, whatever you want to call it, is based from past experience with another grassroots that it was we were looking to impeach Obama, long story short. And
right,
it turned out I raised questions about it and created a mess here in the Massachusetts groups. Started World War III. Long story short, months afterwards, it came out that there was a misappropriation of funds, and it just kind of imploded, and everybody went to different groups and are on their own now.
Well, sounds
but,
like they were getting some money. I wish we could get some of that money, but we're not getting that kind of money.
Well, it wasn't much, from what I understand, but it was enough that, you know, it just wasn't righteousness, and that, you know what I mean.
Well, look. Nobody's doing what we're doing. Nobody's done what we're doing. No one has accomplished what we've accomplished. No one has taken.
I can't even keep up with the information you guys are putting up.
No one has done it the way we're doing it. We're standing on total principles, total 100% principles. You know, look, woe is us if we claim principles and don't stand on it. And it's not going to be long before you see that we're non-principled and we're liars. It's not gonna be, you'll see it eventually. It's got to come through.
Oh, I know. I got a
caller.
I got that built-in barometer in my gut that God turns the button.
You're not paranoid at all.
You know?
These people,
I'm pretty good with that as far as
these
intuition.
These criminals, this organized criminal gang that runs the world is so afraid of the American people. You know, John and us, we may never get to go to court. In a few weeks, we could find out that D.C. was blown off the map. No more checks for anybody. No more Social Security, no more nothing. Continuity of government, we're under martial law. We're racing the clock for humanity.
And the only thing that's going to prevent us from going under national law is for an educated sheriff. Lock and load and call us up because we are the militia. And he's got and that's what the paper, that's why he wrote that paper. He's got the authority. He's the only one that has the authority to be able to call out the militia within his county. Now, the governor can call the militia, too. But generally speaking, it's the sheriff that calls the militia. If there's an emergency in the county, he makes the phone call to a few people, and they let the people come down and do the business in their county. We need to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Is the caller aware that last year, the Carolinas almost got nuked and generals got fired because they fired the missiles into the ocean? These people are hell-bent at taking the United States down so they can run the rest of the world. And they've enlisted China to help them. We're in deep trouble. If we can't do
this... We're living in the last days, if you want to get religious about it. That's my belief.
Not religious, spiritual. We are in the last days. We are. Unless
I believe
God
it, absolutely.
Unless enough people put their faith in God to do the right thing and reclaim real justice. And then we've got a lot of work to do after that.
Right. I understand all this. And that's another hang-up of mine personally on a spiritual level is, like, become no part of this world. But that's my own personal baggage. But, hey, listen, I'll go back on hold, and I'll let you guys move on and do your follow-up comments. I don't want to take too much time.
I'm for John. I think he's our last chance. I pray that he succeeds and everybody join in.
Oh, shit. Hey, you guys, knock it off.
Because the alternative is foreign soldiers invading America, and I don't want to see that.
Amen.
I don't either.
Well, thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate the call.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Theodore from Colorado. Theodore from Colorado. Colorado Theodore? Hello, Theodore from Colorado. Okay, last call for Theodore and from Colorado.
You gotta yell it out.
Colorado
like
Max. Max from Colorado.
Hey, John. I've got a little bit of a concern with our 2 and 3 cent stamp mailings. We just got back 150 envelopes back, and
what you need to find out is this: you need to go to the post office and find out what zip code sent it back. When you have the zip code, you'll know who the postmaster is. We have a letter up on the site. You send the letter out, okay? It should be, let me see, I'll tell you where it's at. It may be only for the coordinators to see. I don't remember, but maybe not. Could be in Juris Documents. Let me take a quick look. But you send this letter out to them. No, it's not there. Let me go to the next one. I think I know where it's at. It's under mailing instructions.
Only
the state coordinators can find that. It's under the mailing instructions. Right, and when you go there, there is the details for it's a letter to the postmaster. If the post office sends back your letters, find the postmaster by finding the zip, get the address, the zip code, and send this letter to the postmaster. Now, if they've sent them back to you, you hold them. You send the letter, and in the letter, you let them know that they got 48 hours to deliver the mail, and it's going to be redeposited into the mail. They're going to be getting it one day behind this letter. and you send it in, okay, and then see what happens at that point. Now,
okay,
the letter should straighten them up, because what the letter will do will cause them to call up their boss and figure out what's going on. And unless the boss wants to get this guy put in jail, you know, he'll go the right way. We will indict. Well, it's up to the people to indict. We've got to come together and make a decision on that soon, whether we're going to do the indictments on these guys.
And the question I have, John, is I think you better do a survey of the states to see if this is happening in other states, because if the mailings aren't getting out, you know, then you know, when we make statements that we're sending this stuff, it's not getting there.
Right.
You know.
No, we're on top of this. To my knowledge, I think there are two states. I heard of Colorado. I've already heard about that. And there was another state. I'm trying to remember who that was. But they need to send it back out. But most everyone else is getting through. The only other alternative, if people don't want to do this, is if they want to stick their hands into their pockets and spend, you know, so much per ounce, you know, they could do it that way. But why? Again, we should be doing this for free. We should have free postage, because we are the people doing the people's business. There should be no charge for this.
John can't get all the Creed fans behind him for helping the lead singer, Scott, and get all of the people who've been protesting against police brutality across the United States on board with National Liberty Alliance. Then we could really make some headway. We'd have millions upon millions.
Right. All right, but anyway, we'll do the best we can with it. We'll send it out. I've received hundreds, literally hundreds. Matter of fact, most of the mail I'm getting now has got, 3 cents, 6 cents mail on it. People ordering books, and they're using the 3 cents mail to do that. It's getting to me.
Well, I'll tell one of our state coordinators to go out to that site and get that letter and do the procedures, how to handle it's in there, so I'll have them follow that. Now,
Absolutely. There's
one more thing.
Just one other thing. Let me finish before you move to the next step. Make sure you talk with the district coordinator and maybe the national coordinator, Gary, and work with them, and also realize that they're on top of it. They'll hear when other states. Like I said, I've heard of two states. You're one of them. I've already heard of
it. The other thing is, we had a breakthrough in Colorado with Sheriff Mack, and you might not know about it. One of our members a couple of weeks ago, Sheriff Mack was on the western slope of Colorado, and he had a sit down with him, and he basically got him on board with us to a few more increments than he was before. So just to let you know, if any of your people who kind of know or correspond with Sheriff Mack, that we did make some breakthroughs and were able to explain a little better what we were doing, and he seemed to not be as resistant to it.
Someone
we did make a breakthrough there.
Yes, yeah, someone was supposed to set up a meeting with Sheriff Mack and us on the 10th of December. But I haven't heard anything back from that. I did hear something, a week or so before December, and we're waiting, and it didn't happen, so I don't know if that fell through or what.
Well, like I said, we were able to explain what we were doing, and he seemed a little more receptive. So I'm just saying we've had a small breakthrough there. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Appreciate it.
All right. That's all I've got, John.
Okay.
I just was concerned about all the emails we got returned. It was a whole bunch, so.
Yeah, not emails, letters.
or letters, yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm an IT guy,
yeah.
Everything's email, right?
Yeah, we all do that, so. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Max. Okay, next, Utah Stephen. Go right ahead.
Hey, John, it's Utah Stephen. How's it going?
How you doing? Good. Yourself?
Great. Hey, thanks for the assistance about my personal matter with the courts here in Utah, specifically Millard County.
Mm-hmm.
I got your letter sent off today. However, it went with a 3 cent stamp, so I'm not sure if you're going to get it.
Yeah, I usually get them.
Okay, well,
since we've been doing this, I only had one person, and I forget who it was and what state, but one person sent me a copy of the letter that they originally sent, and they got back, and it said, you know, insufficient postage, and they got it back. And so they mailed that to me. But that's the only one that I'm aware of coming to me that has returned that I can recall anyway.
Okay, let me throw this out at you. I appreciate the last couple calls. Callers, yes, we are having some of the postage come back to the Unified Utah Common Law Grand Jury Post Office box. I've got a small stack today. There's about seven in there. And then I've got a yellow card because our post office box is just a small one. So if you got more than that, apparently it says the postage is due. Please see the clerk during regular business hours. So I'm thinking there's a little bit more they'll be asking for. Oh, this particular stack says we need an additional 73 cents. So I was, I'm glad you mentioned the letter to the postmaster. We were working on our own letter here, and then you brought that up on the call.
Well, there's two ways. There's two ways they can, you know, play with you or screw with you. And one of the other states, which I can't remember which one it was, they had the other problem where their mailing was held as hostage, and they got the letter from some postmaster, and they need to send money to them in order to get it going. They didn't return it. They held the letters as hostage. For that, that's a pretty easy one. You just send the letter directly to the postmaster and let it be known, what is that's going to happen. Lay the law out. That letter lays the law out very clearly. And let me tell you, the law is the law. As I just said it, that's the law. There is no other law. And there is a law in the books that says, and we put this on the post, on the envelope, the law says that any postmaster that tries to take any more money than what is due for any postage, okay, is liable to up to six months in prison and a fine or both. Okay, so that should make them think before that, before doing anything. This guy's acting without thinking, and now when you send the letter, he's going to go see his boss. And like I said, the boss, if he's a real SOB and says he wants to put the guy in jail or something, isn't concerned, he needs to let the guy know the truth and let the postmaster make his own decision, because he's the one that's got to pay for it, is the postmaster.
Okay, so give him 48 hours.
I would mail out the letter to them first. Give him a day if you want to, and then let them know that the mail will be coming back to you in the next 24 to 48 hours. You bet, and you got 48 hours to deliver it.
Excellent. Okay, we are tracking down the letter right now on the website.
Okay.
And what tab is it under? Media?
No, that would be under Juris tab. And if Juris. You go to under Juris tab, you have to be a state coordinator to see it. It says mailing instructions.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I don't know how you do it, John.
I think I don't know either.
Hang in there, buddy.
You got me stuck. I had no words.
Hang in there. I know I couldn't do what you've been doing for many, many months, and that's hang out on this Monday night call.
Well, this is crucial to our success. We have to be here every Monday. We've never missed a Monday, by the way. Never.
I know. And I'm saying this so that I can just maybe say a few words to all the listeners tonight. I don't know how many you got online. Are you able to reveal that information?
Oh, yeah. Right now we're down to about 116. We kind of – sometimes our highest number is around 250, somewhere around there. And it fluctuates. Some people come on early in the call. Some people come on late in the call. And so the end result's usually about 300 people.
Okay. Yeah, we got a small room full of people here.
And then there's people that listen.
This is only part of what John does. John is so busy most of the time. Him and I don't talk much, you know, because he's always doing something for somebody, just like Annie and I are always doing something for this network. So
we're fighting for our lives, you know. It's
Yeah, we do have other listeners, by the way, because we have people who come to the chat room and listen in on our webpage, because you can, you don't have to, if you're not going to talk and you don't mind listening in on the radio, we have the Shake and Wake radio there, so we broadcast right on our website on the Monday Night Call page. Then they have whatever people are listening in on the radio from other access, and then also on the chat room over there on Shake and Wake. So, you know, there's a few more people, I'm sure. You know, we get a decent group of people. I mean, goodness, the last time we called for for the people to come together to make a decision on the on a presentment, the one we did, for instance, the last one we did for Eric Garner. Okay, we had, I think it was 256 people came to that to sit on that jury, that grand jury. So that became, it was a national grand jury, you know.
Oh yeah, so. Well, that's excellent, John. I was meaning more specifically many of the callers that are sitting out there,
uh-huh.
all kind of scared, wanting to make sure things are, you know, legit and
right.
wanting to make sure it all works out. I mean, I wouldn't have the patience that you have displayed, John, and you've been very tactful and very respectful, and I appreciate that because I, like I said, I don't know how you do it. I couldn't host the Monday night call. I just don't have that type of patience.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. I have holes in my tongue. I'm only kidding.
Let me just say one more thing before I'm out of here. Yeah. Well, a couple more things maybe. So I did my own appeal on this thing, and so it's going to be coming to the district court now from the justice court on January 12th. So anyone listening to me from Utah or Colorado or Idaho, feel free to join us here in Millard County on...
Hey, call up Eric. Do you know Eric?
I'm not familiar with that name.
Okay, go to nationallibertyalliance.org, go on the top, go to groups, highlight groups, then click on courtroom observers groups.
Okay.
And talk with Eric,
yeah.
And Eric will work with you to try to muster up people to go to court with you, and he also mm-hmm. will teach people, you know, because we're setting up IDs, very official-looking going a dress code, and how to get cameras into the courtroom, taking a recording, and, you know, instruments and everything. You know,
yeah,
he'll lead you through all that stuff.
Excellent. Yeah, I've contacted this media guy. He's got a camera, and he's been into several courtrooms with his camera. Mm-hmm. He just files
yeah,
the paperwork.
Every person that's going through court procedures should connect with the group, you know, and get a hold of Eric. You know, if you go to the courtroom observers group, join it. Click on join, participate. And you also can click on a form page where you can request assistance and help. But everybody should be helping each other, you know.
Okay, great. Okay, I'm going to work with the postmaster up here at the local place. I'm thinking of talking to the local sheriff here in this area in case I need his assistance with this guide. But I'm going to go talk to him face-to-face tomorrow, I think. Okay.
By the way, the membership over there is building up pretty quick, you know. So we just opened that up a week or so ago, week and a half ago. And we already got 50 people that have moved into the membership over there. So that's not bad. And let's get more membership. Again, anybody who's got a court case, anybody who wants to help people with a court case, anybody who'd love to go to court and bring cameras in and videotape, become an observer and to help people by being that observer. You see, by coming into the courtroom with recording instruments and video cameras and looking very official and people there with pens and papers taking notes and the courtroom observer tag with your ID, you know, and you put your ID on it and everything, that intimidates the judge. And we're trying to intimidate him
to do the just thing, because that's what it requires to make the judge do the right thing. You have to intimidate him, and judges aren't easily intimidated.
Okay. Yeah, this was the issue where there was no injured party. No signed and sworn statement by an injured party. That's got to be required. And no
absolutely, but remember, they break their own rules, but you need to get that on camera, you see?
Oh, yeah, I got
it
on audio.
Don't wait till the last minute. You should be making contact tomorrow with Eric and looking and getting organized in groups and making sure two or three or more people is at your court case with you and someone with a camera. And you got to get, it's always best, don't go, you know, it's hard to get through if you just show up with your camera, although Eric seems to have the ability to get through courts like that, but nevertheless, there's a procedure and a process, and he'll teach it to you, and you want to get pre-approval. Don't wait till the last minute. Let him know you're coming with cameras, get the approval, so when you're going to go, you're going to bring your cameras in and set it up, and that's that.
Okay, great. All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Bye.
Okay, next caller. Bye-bye. Donna from California. Go right ahead.
Hey, this is Donna.
How you doing, Donna?
Hey, good. I just wanted to know if anybody would like to send an example of the letters for the 2-cent stamp.
Okay.
And what the deal is, some people like me, I'm a more of a photograph person, where I need to see an example in my uh-huh. face or being sent to me.
Right.
So that way I could just get it right and start right. sending them out. So if anybody would like to send me a letter using the 2-cent stamps, they could do it to P.O. Box 174. And that's okay. in Pine Grove, California, 95665.
And what name?
Oh, you could just use Donna.
Donna. Okay. Anything else, Donna?
Nah, that's fine.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, JP from California.
Yes, this is JP in California. Thank you for taking my call, John. What you said earlier, the very earliest, right after reading the new writings you're going to publish. It's exactly that. Nothing, mm-hmm. nothing should be addressed but being in the courts. Nothing else. We need to be in the courts. Concentrate on being in the courts. Unless we are in the courts, we won't be successful.
Absolutely right. Yep.
So I wish all the callers concentrate on that matter. Speaking about the 3-cent stamps, I sent my wife a letter 2.5 years ago with 3 cents, and it worked. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are doing it. A lot of people are doing it. We're not the only ones, but we're probably the biggest group doing it.
Yeah. I learned it from a guy, his name was Bill. But basically, mm-hmm. The last thing I want to say is, and I'm going to be very open and straightforward, John. There's two more things I want to address. The test, the quizzes, you advertise it everywhere you speak. It
uh-huh.
is not up to par to present to new people that are not as dedicated to the cause. It is a very difficult course to take.
Right. I got a call from Kathleen, and she dropped a message in Skype. I haven't got back to her yet. I'll try to get her tomorrow. I know she's on the call right now. And she had mentioned that she wants to be able to go back through the course, through the quiz, and do the corrections and make sure it gets done. And I'm going to try to tie her in with the tech to see if we can't find a way to make that happen, where she can have access to get in there and just go through and check everything to make sure.
You should tell Gerard to take the course. He's only at 5%, and he will understand how difficult that is.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely painful. Painful. We are here. We're not learning anything. We're trying to solve a puzzle, for crying out loud. And it bears down on an S or a capital letter. It's beyond. Sometimes the World Bank is missing. The titles of the test are wrong. I mean...
Right. It's a technical thing. We're going to try to fix it, and it's tough not to mention the course on our site. But you're right, and I think we'll probably put a note in there to let people know we're still in trying to get the bugs out. So please be patient.
You said yourself that you have to get 50,000.
Right.
15,000 administrators throughout the country. We barely have, 14 that pass the test? The thing is that we have long ways to go. You have to facilitate this.
Right. Well, the 15,000 is for the books, to reorder new books, because we're running out of books here.
No. It's the four administrators times, it's 13, 14,000? People.
Oh, yeah. We are a long way off, right? But bear in mind, once we get into the courts, we will get a surge of people, and I wish we can get them before that time, but I don't think it's going to happen. We'll get a surge of people coming in.
John, if I may express myself, you need to make that course the priority number one. Otherwise, we will not have any sitting juries anywhere.
Right. No, I agree. I'm going to talk with Kathleen tomorrow and try to tie her in with the tech and see if she can't get access, because Kathleen said she'll get in there and go page by page to make sure it's right. So that's what we need to do.
It's a big job. I wish her luck.
Yes.
The last thing I want to say, John, is that, and that will be it, is that the call itself is not as interesting as it used to be. The thing is we have people bringing other concerns that should not be a concern at this time, and I think you should put a time limit on the call, on the callers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, things that I've studied like 3 years ago, I hear. People have questions because they are lazy or they don't have the time to study what is actually happening. The thing is that we need to put a time limit on the callers.
Well, I agree with you. I try to be patient. I try to let everybody get their points out. And sometimes callers are on good points, and I like to continue on that because there's something to be learned from them, from the call, from the conversation, and so on. But what I'm going to try to do, I'm going to try to cut back if I can, but I think I'm going to push next week again. I'm going to ask people who have talked in the last 2 weeks not to get into the queue at all. And if I see anybody in the queue that has been in the queue that I recognize, I'm just going to bypass them. So I can get to other people and see how it goes. And then at some point when we get through all the people who haven't been able to get through, then it could be a free-for-all again. I'm going to try to push more harder on that next week.
John, thank you for all you do and for your good word at the beginning. We need to concentrate on what is essential at this time.
Amen. Yes, I agree.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, JP. Okay, Sheila from New York, you got the mic.
Hi, John.
Hey.
Yes.
By the way, I think we went through all the callers because I'm starting to see after you, Sheila, a couple of people that have already been on, so they're coming up for a second time around. But go ahead, Sheila.
I'll be real quick.
Okay.
I just wanted to reply to Jason and request that, you know, he send me an email or, you know, we can converse with each other if he's not seeing progress. But what I wanted to reiterate on what you said was that, you know, for a couple of weeks I did not have access to anything. I couldn't really, I was kind of stalemate. And right now we have to get together so that I can post on the site and share with the members the PDFs and such that I have. I just wanted to say that because, for the most part, you know, call me or email me. I mean, even you come up with some creative ideas, and I'm talking about Jason because it seems from the second day that I took on the position, I got word from Jason. And he was kind of yelling, and he was being ignored and the whole thing. And I only been there the second day. So it seems to come up often from him, but he doesn't seem to try to reach me or, you know, integrate or incorporate himself.
Right.
So,
he should give you a call. You got your phone number up there. He should give you a call and try to figure out different ideas.
Yeah. Because we're going to get moving on things, but right now the site, the group had to get situated, and then I'm, you know, working on it. I have put up phrases and Twitter phrases, and we are connecting with radio shows, and, you know, so things are moving along, and, you know, I just wish that, you know, I don't know. I just, if I felt something wasn't going, you know, according to my production speed, then I would kind of, you know, volunteer my services. So, like, I just want to let him know that I'm here. You have my number. You know, you can email me and other members. I mean, I'm right here, and I'm doing the best I can. So as soon as we get everything up, totally up and running, and we can get more connections with other people and through other connections, then I'm sure we'll progress, you know, accordingly. So that's all I wanted to say, John.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for that time. And please come to the media meeting tomorrow. It's at, it'll be at 8 o'clock tomorrow because I'm trying to up the time so we can get out by 9 in case there's a coordinator's meeting or...
What's tomorrow, Tuesday? Yeah, there is.
Yeah. So that's why I updated.
9 o'clock tomorrow for that. So. Okay.
Right. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me take the next caller, Ed from Oregon. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you again, John. I wanted to bring up two real quick points, and I'll be quick. One is that the United States is not in debt. You have, as long as you're a lawful American to the 1850s of your true bloodline, the British government and the Vatican and everybody owes us to separate that. I've got the documents in the courthouses and everything, and nobody's disputed it. And the other, you know, that's the one point that they owe us, and research your birth certificate. That's why I put some of that stuff up, sent it to you. And the other point is you're on the right direction in a lot of things that are going on, but we have to keep in check not only with each other, but remember the Constitution only applies to lawful Americans. The only reason why it reaches out is because the other countries look at us for our freedom so they could keep theirs, what they have. And if we don't keep ours, nobody has it. And
right.
They're using our examples as the templates, trying to rewrite their structure. I am that deeply involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, more than people know. And I don't want to get into it, but... is that we have to focus on keeping our country together and our people together first, and the rest will follow. That's how we're going to change it, because we're the only place on the planet that has a treaty that gives us our constitutional freedoms. The only place. Nobody else in the world has what the United States bloodline has. That's why they're digging up King Richard. They're going to be digging up others for the British bloodline and royalty line right now for DNA testing. There's more going on than what people see the eyes, but we need to focus and keep it local and keep our sheriffs knowing what their positions are. And that's everybody listening. Sit down with a copy with your sheriff. Present them the documents. Go over it. I appreciate it, John. Peace and God bless Jesus.
Okay, thank you. We got time to take just one more caller. And let's see. It is Sarah from Florida. Go right ahead, Sarah.
Hi, good evening, everybody. John, I just wanted to bring up in regards to, you know, a lot of people have complaints, you know, that you mentioned in the email, yet they're not participating in their state, meaning, you know, they're not concentrating on these presentments, on getting these mailings out. This is really the priority for each state right now until
Absolutely.
We get to the court. So whether they, you know, the state coordinators are Christian, whether they're Republican, whether they're Democrat, whatever people want to call them by labels, okay, the state coordinator is trying to get these presentments out, and everybody in the state should be pitching in $5, $2, so that collectively...
Right. Well, you know, one of the things I think the state coordinators should do, and we'll talk about this at the next coordinators meeting, one of the things I think they should do is they all have a list of all their members in the state and their phone numbers. But they should be on the phone to these people and calling them up, and they have to approach them the right way. Some of these people, you know, we do have people that don't even remember that they signed up. That happens in every group. So, but
John,
the key thing is we have to just identify ourselves.
Respectfully, there's no time to call 300 people, okay? There's over 200 people on Facebook in the Florida groups. It has been brought up on the Florida Facebook group twice to pitch in money. Two men, other than the two state coordinators, out of their own pocket, collectively have paid out of pocket over, you know, $1,500. Okay, it's for the state and people of Florida, and I'm sure other state coordinators have
that's a lot of money to have laid out. I'm surprised anybody's laid that much. I don't think they've laid that much money out. Nobody has done that much mailing.
Right.
I wish we did. So
yes, I have. I spent
$1,400 worth.
I spent out of my own pocket in 2 months $1,200. I sent the receipts on Skype group. So they're sitting there. Gary's already.
So you sent them out. You sent them out with a return receipt.
Some of them, yes. So
yeah, that's very expensive. Yeah, I agree with you on the money. This is a problem we have, but this is a problem that we're going to have to deal with and reach. You know, I've brought myself to the break line myself because I had to put out money to what had to be done. It's got to be done, and
exactly.
We all have to get to that point and do it. It is what it is. Look, we're always complaining about money. We only have a few hundred people that actually really support us, even though we have thousands and thousands of people that follow us, and we've got quite a few thousand members, and yet still only a few hundred support us. So a lot of the people don't because they want to use the credit card, and I didn't know that PayPal is not permitting credit cards. Some people have told me that, and they said, no, it's there. And I guess they didn't get back to me or anything, so I figured they found it, but it's not true. I found out on the donation side, when you get to that side, they don't offer credit cards other than you have to have a PayPal account to do a weekly payment. So that has been a problem for a lot of people. I am working on that problem. I've talked with my bank today because I'm trying to set it up to my bank to get this done. Otherwise, I'm going to go to PayPal and I'm going to pay them $30 a month, and then they'll put that part of the service onto it.
I mean, it will do what we have to do. I mean, the bank's going to cost me, I think, $30 a month anyway. But I prefer doing it in the bank because there's no other cost other than that $30, and it goes directly into the account. You know, I don't have to move the money, so you know, it will be a lot easier. So I'm working on that, and hopefully that will pick up that membership.
That will
people will come on and use their debit credit cards to pay for it and feel more comfortable. But that has been a problem, though. Money has always been a problem. I'm a leader of many, many groups, and collecting money from people has always been a problem. You know, you push the can around, and you just don't get what you think you should get.
You know what? People can't even make it through the month for the most part.
Yeah, that is.
And I would like to say something about what the caller said. You know what? Although John and a lot of people, and this is biblical and stuff, and a lot of people believe we're in end times, possibly. But make no mistake about it. If you're a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu or you like yoga, it doesn't matter. You're all going to the camps if we don't succeed. The power's going out. There's not going to be no food or water for anybody. And the machine gun and helicopters are going to be looking for people out in the country who got gardens and stuff. I mean, this is... We're in a bad situation here, man. Whoever your God is, you need to pray, okay?
The bottom line is I would like to see people stop complaining for religious reasons or, you know, it's not Common Core or it's not Agenda 21, so therefore they're not going to pitch in. Well, excuse me, you know, we're trying to get into the courthouses so that all of this stops, okay? Mm-hmm. So
anybody's issue is our issue too. If they understood what our plan is, they would realize we are the solution to the problem, to the answers to the problems that they're seeking.
Exactly. So they need to stop complaining, and at least if they can't pitch in $2 to their state and $5 to the national, then they should turn to their family and friends. Hey, I can't afford it. Maybe you can. Because that's really what the bottom line, these presentments must be recorded. They must get to the courthouses and be recorded. Otherwise, we are not saying what we have to say on record.
Mm-hmm.
The presentments have to be done. That is the priority.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of papers to follow, and that's why we're going to move to the 3-cent stamp also. But with that, we're past our time. I appreciate it. For those who didn't make it on tonight, we'll get you next week, Lord willing. And again, I'm going to push real hard next week. Nobody that has spoken in the past couple of weeks onto the queue for a while until we open it up to everyone. I want to try to get the people who have having a problem really trying to get to speak here. So, okay, thanks everyone. Good night. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And we do have a leadership meeting coming up this week for coordinators. Thank you.